Okay, it's a brand new year, and Podcast One's got a whole bunch of brand new coming your way. We're talking about new shows from Layla Ali, The Forbes Network, NASCAR's Larry McReynolds, Real Housewife Kim Zolciak, amazing scripted series like Murder Made Me Famous, Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, Richard Marx, Norman Lear, and many, many more. So get on board for 2017 and download the Podcast One app now. That way you can take us with you all year long. Happy New Year from PodcastOne.com.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here, setting you up for what you're about to listen to, which is an encore presentation of the Survivor Think Tank 2 podcast that Stephen Fishback and I did way back when in September of 2014. For the second time, we decided to do a Survivor Think Tank where the listeners of the podcast send Stephen and I different ideas that Survivor should implement, whether they're twists or formats for seasons or anything that Survivor could potentially do. You guys sent in those suggestions. Stephen and I answered them, but this had never been in the regular podcast feed. What was going on during the summer of 2014 is that Stephen and I were promoting the 49 Laws of Survivor audiobook. So we did a show that was only available for the wonderful patrons of Rob is a Podcast and people who had ordered that audiobook. But looking back, I think that that was a mistake. I want to get these ideas out into the world. And I think a lot of them did get out into the world, as you will hear in this special presentation, that a lot of the things that we did suggest will go on to be things that did happen on Survivor. You can make the call whether or not they were coincidences or things that maybe might have gotten conceived on the show here with us. So the reason why I am doing this at this particular point is because Stephen Fishback and I are very proud to announce that Survivor Think Tank 3 is coming, and it's coming next week. So what we're going to be doing is this Wednesday night in the Survivor time slot, we will be back live with Survivor Think Tank 3, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. Pacific, to go through all of your suggestions. And there's a couple different ways that you can send those in to us. You could use the form that is on the show page on robhasawebsite.com for this podcast, or you can email them to the show. Email them to thinktank@robhasawebsite.com. Unlike the last Think Tank, that is going to be available for everybody to watch and join us live, and it will be in the Rob Has a Podcast feed coming up next Wednesday night. Of course, the audiobook that Stephen and I have more recently done is The Genius Season 1 Know-It-Alls Recap, where we went through and watched the ultra-strategic Korean reality show. Stephen and I have gone through all 12 episodes of that. You could listen to the first episode completely for free, and you can purchase the whole thing for just $3.99, or it's free if you're a patron of Rob Is a Podcast. For all the information you need about that, go to GeniusKIA.com. All right. So whether this is a refresher for you if you heard it originally back in 2014, or it's your first time going through this, I'd love to hear all the things in the comments that you think we either were right on the money on or we're way off on. It's always fun a couple of years out. And of course, I'll also have a link to Survivor Think Tank 1 in the show notes on robhasawebsite.com. So enjoy Survivor Think Tank 2, and then Stephen and I will be back Wednesday night for Survivor Think Tank 3.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Stephen and Rob, without a doubt, got the game all figured out. They know it all. Survivor.
Yes, that's right. Oh my God, it's the Survivor Think Tank 2, and we are live. Stephen Fishback, are you there?
I'm here, Rob, and what an incredible, exciting idea. Think Tank 2. Now I want to do some, you know, history here. Think Tank 1 came on the heels of Survivor 24. Kim Spradlin was the winner. Troy Zan, you know, was the big breakout character. And people really felt that the Survivor franchise needed help. We had our think tank. Then comes Survivor 25, 26, 27, 28, four of the most exciting seasons in the history of the show. Survivor's on a roll. And I think we can say it was entirely because of our think tank.
We did it.
Yeah. So here we are, Think Tank 2. I'm freaking excited.
Yes. So very, very fun. So we are live here on Saturday afternoon, early evening, if you're on the East Coast, September 6th, night before the NFL kickoff. I know Steven is getting ready to go to a tailgate tonight.
Yeah, I'm just preparing for the game day itself. I'm in the zone. Yeah.
He's got 19 fantasy teams ready to go. So Steven's all set. Anyway, so we are live. And we are live, Steven, to a select audience in this show. And many people will listen to this in the archives for many years to come, hopefully. This is only going to be heard and seen by the people who ordered our audiobook, The 49 Laws of Survivor, and the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. And that's it.
That's great. I'm sick of the riffraff. To be honest, like, it's just the patrons and the audiobook orderers who I'm interested in.
So, Stephen, feel free that we are among supporters tonight. So we could we're talking to the base. We could hit anybody we want tonight.
Oh wow!
And like you could say, oh, you know who's really an a-hole that I don't want to say normally because they can't watch it.
Carolina. That was a hypothetical. I thought.
So you know, fingers crossed, we are among friends tonight, and so feel free to be able to speak even more frankly than normal.
Finally the chance to cut loose.
So here's what we're gonna do tonight. I solicited a number of suggestions from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast and the people who purchased the 49 Laws of Survivor. And I have a stack. I've printed out the best of the best.
Oh my God. That's a lot of printouts. There couldn't be that many good ones.
These are the ones that made the cut, Stephen.
Wow. I can't even imagine. That's a lot.
Yes. And so they made the cut for one of two reasons. They're a really good one, or it will be fun to see your reaction to some of them.
Okay. Can I lead off with an idea? I don't know if we're at that point, but I want to lead off with my big idea for how to revitalize the franchise.
Sure. When we get to that, you can kick it off.
I've got a killer idea.
Yes. Okay. All right. We'll get to that in one moment. I just want to also just take one moment and thank everybody who has supported us with the 49 Laws of Survivor. Steven and I had a lot of fun getting to record that all summer long, and really thank you guys for supporting that project. And we've only heard good things so far. So if you have bad things to say, you haven't said them, and that's also very nice of you as well. So thank you on both counts.
Is there a comment section for the 49 Laws? I would like to see like people's comments. Is there like a, maybe under on this podcast, we can see some comments as well.
Yeah, there are comments on the page that people are able to watch on. And so I didn't set up a specific page where people can leave comments on the 49 Laws of Survivor, but I think that's probably a good place.
That's what I was thinking, that page specifically. Like, yeah, leave comments on the 49 Laws. You know, we spend a lot of time and effort on it. And, you know, I'd love to hear what people have to say and people's thoughts about it. You know, other examples that you might have. I guess we can't really, there's no point in trying to encourage people to buy it. But, you know, tell your friends.
Yeah. And also, people, the book just dropped on Wednesday and today is Saturday. I've heard from several people who finished it already.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, very impressive. All right. So let's get into Stephen. You kick us off tonight. And of course, I went back and listened to Think Tank 1.
Oh, wow.
And
How was it?
Oh, it was fun.
It's like from a different era. Did it feel dated?
It felt a little dated because, you know, I had not been doing a lot of live shows at the time. But anyway, we are now experienced pros. We are headed into our fifth season of Survivor Know-It-Alls. This was actually right before we started Survivor Know-It-Alls. The Think Tank 1 was like the precursor to Survivor Know-It-Alls. You were live at my house.
I remember. That was a lot of fun. It was your old house. You've even moved houses.
I've even moved houses. I've even brought a person into the world. Everything's
You've created life. I have done nothing like that. I have like eaten a lot of sandwiches.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Sounds so delicious, though.
I've consumed life.
Anyway, so we came up with some good stuff. Some notable things from the last one. We came up with a Survivor Black Vote, we were calling it. Well, we said that was not appropriate, so we called it Survivor Payback, where a person who gets voted out gets to cast a vote in the urn on their way out. We like that one.
It's fun.
AJ Mass called in. We talked about Survivor No World, where it was a lot of, you know, in it, you know, Survivor One World, but without tribes. So we had a couple different things that we liked from Think Tank One and a bunch of things that we didn't like. And I expect more of the same here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. The black vote is or the revenge vote is a phenomenal idea. Yeah, they should still think about that.
They should still think about that. Of course, Stephen, the catchphrase that we used in Survivor Think Tank 1. Do you remember what we said when we liked an idea?
Heyo?
No. The ideas that we said yes to, we said, you're going to Samoa.
Yeah. What's the new one? I mean, you're going to the Philippines?
No, we're going to keep going to Samoa? You're going to Samoa.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're either sending the ideas through to Samoa or Noah.
Noah. Oh, wow. That's it. Just drowned in the flood with Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, kick us off here tonight. I've got beverages to get me through. I went to the bathroom before we started the show, so I'm locked in.
Your whole body is just in a state of readiness.
Also, by the way, just one more thing before we get started. The chat room is going on the robinswebsite.com Think Tank 2 page. We've got a lot of people chatting there already. Scott St. Pierre is monitoring the hashtag. You could use either RHAP or Think Tank 2. We should probably let's use Think Tank 2 because this is probably a little. Use either one, whatever you want to do. Scott St. Pierre, you tell me if I'm saying anything wrong. He's monitoring the Twitter and then also on our YouTube.
It looks like he's giving a thumbs up here. I think I just saw a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Scott.
Okay. Yeah. So you can use Think Tank 2 or RHAP. Anyway. All right.
Is Troyzan going to be calling in on this?
No, we're not taking calls from anybody on this one.
Because that was a tremendous waste of time on the last one.
We heard from Troyzan and the Rooster.
Who is the root? Oh, Matt. That's right.
Matt Quinlan. Yes. Right, he Matt called Quinlan. In as well. And Troyzan's suggestions on these, like, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, I'm not bitter or anything, but they really need to find people who know how to play the game to put them on there so they don't follow one person all the way to the end. I mean, I'm not saying anything about Kim, but they really should.
Yeah.
It was right after One World.
He was in it. He was reliving it day by like minute by minute. He was in it. It would be like, I don't know who the equivalent from Survivor 28 would be.
Tony.
Yeah, but Tony, you know, Tony is in it, but like he also won. So no bitterness.
Yeah, Tony's the only bitter winner.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like all winners feel like they didn't totally get their due, except maybe JT. Anyway.
Kick us off, Steven.
Here's my idea, Rob, and it's really more for one season, although I think it could be something that you could do every season in a slightly different way. And I would call it Survivor John Smith, where you cast 20 people or 18 people, and they all have the exact same name, and they all look kind of similar to each other. So you'd never be able to plan who you were going to vote out because everyone had the same name. You could never strategize in the same way. It would completely upend strategy. You couldn't be like, let's vote out John. John's been talking about you. John Smith has been talking about you. Or if people looked a little bit alike, you know, then you could, it would be even harder. There could be no like Purple Kelly, you know, everyone looks the same. Everyone has the same name. Suddenly, like, it's like being in that John Malkovich room in John Malkovich. Like, how do you, it would upend our notions of reality.
Okay. First, I thought this was all one big Pocahontas joke. But wouldn't in Survivor John Smith, wouldn't it turn into like, hey, there's Cincinnati John and there's Houston John. And like, wouldn't there just be nicknames for everybody?
I think it would, but it would like force you to really like conceive of how we think about each other. You know, how do we identify the people around us?
You know, there's Fat John. There's, you know, there's
You know, all these different things. Lazy John. Oh,
And then you're like known as Fat John, and you're like, that strategy right there. Like, I can't believe you guys are calling me Fat John. Steve, you know, who said that?
Are you sure you didn't accidentally show up for the Utopia think tank?
I kind of want to see Utopia it's tomorrow night. I'm pretty excited about that.
No, I've heard some good things on Utopia.
They're naked.
There's some nudity going on Utopia. And I will be covering Utopia, Stephen, Sunday night after Big Brother. I will be watching the two-hour Utopia premiere and talking with the tabulator, Kurt Clark. And that will be up on Monday on Rob Has a Website.
It's a good life, Rob. I feel like, you know, you're immersing yourself in these crazy shows and then being able to be like a voice of reason about them. You know, I feel like that's a
pretty
good
job. Is that what I am?
You're a voice.
All right. So, Stephen, was that your real idea of Survivor John Smith?
I don't really have a real idea. Okay. I came here with no ideas, ready to think. You know, I wasn't told to think in advance. This is the think tank.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and let's jump in here with a... Okay, let's start here with... here's something that's interesting idea. We'll go right off the bat. I'll give you one. And you heard this one because this got emailed to both of us. Okay. I'm going to start off with Colin Stone, great podcaster Dom and Colin podcast talking about Survivor. Colin says, hey, Robin Steven, what about an idol that does nothing?
Yeah.
It could be brought into the game like the Tyler Perry idol, where contestants are told that it's in play and it physically looks similar to regular hidden idols. It doesn't have any powers, but whoever finds it can claim that it does anything they want. It becomes entirely about the disparity of information, and unlike the Tyler Perry idol, it does not give its owners a free pass. Would love to hear your thoughts. All right, so Steven, there is an idol. But it's a fake idol, and it comes with the instructions of, hey, this idol is fake, but you can tell anybody whatever you want to do. It's almost like every single person in Survivor is able to be their own Bob Crowley.
I love this idea. I thought it was one of the things I hated about the Survivor, the Tyler Perry idol, was that it was both super powerful, but nobody knew what it did. And that just seemed to have two kind of distinct, really hyper-powered advantages. But if there were an idol that did nothing, but you could claim it did anything, then it would truly become about the gamesmanship of the person and less about some insane power that the producers had given you. They're just giving you the opportunity to tell a story and to fake out your opponents. And I think that's a really strong and fun idea. I mean, is it something that could be used more than once? Maybe. But it's certainly for that one time, it would be a really kind of interesting, it would be interesting to see if it fell into the right hands, you know, what would happen?
It's a counterfeit idol. It's like if somebody gave you $100 counterfeit and was like, hey, it's not real, but do whatever you want with it.
Right.
What could you do with it? You couldn't, you couldn't bring it to the bank.
Right.
So you had to either pawn it off on somebody, trade you like
bribe
hey,
someone. Yeah.
You could say, hey, could you give me change of 100? Could you got 520s for this?
Or I'll give you 100 if you go run this errand for me. You know, you could do a lot with 100. There was actually a story about a man, a fictional story with $1 million bill, and he couldn't cash it, you know, too big a bill, but like everyone wanted to please the guy with $1 million bill. So like he got free clothes and he got free meals. Because like everyone was like, well, this guy's really rich and he's got this $1 million bill. So it's kind of like that. You know, you've got this fake idol. It's functionally useless. The people are going to want, you know, they're going to be scared of it. They're going to be attracted to it. How are you using it as a tool of power? I thought this was a really fun and smart idea by Colin.
Okay. It's not a game changer. Like, we can't build a season around Survivor counterfeit idol, but it would be a fun twist that we can add to it. Robert Francis in the chat says, opportunity for strategy that doesn't actually affect the game? Send it to Samoa. All right, Steven. Send it to Samoa or hell Noah?
Send it to Samoa. I don't think you need... I think the things that completely change the game or you build a season around, those twists are often the ones that are the most grating and forced. I think it's the... You know, and you look at the last season, you know, there wasn't some big twist, right? It was just new players. You know, they had the super idol, whatever. Like, it definitely affected the game in some way, but there wasn't any real huge twist except for the fact that these were all kind of new players.
Okay. Colin Stone's counterfeit immunity idol. You're going to Samoa.
Woo!
All right.
Great start. Great start. Straight out of the gate. Two great ideas. John Smith season and Samoa, you know, the super idol. Fake idol. Whatever.
Okay. Let's stay on the subject of idols. This one comes to us from Jacob Sager Weinstein, who says, production obviously feels that more hidden immunity idols equal more drama. I agree. So yeah. I propose Survivor Reductio ad absurdium, or if you want to be a little more populist, Survivor, yo dog, I heard you like idols. On day one, every single player is publicly handed a hidden immunity idol. Of course, it's not hidden, so we would call this the personal immunity idol. It's not a Tyler Perry idol. It's the regular you must play it before the votes are counted idol. Everyone is warned there are no hidden idols this season. So once you play your personal immunity idol, it's gone. Steven, what do you think of Survivor personal immunity idol?
I've seen this almost as like a dark joke on Survivor Sucks a few times. The idea that everyone get, you know, oh, you like idols? Fine. We'll give everybody idols. Then see what happens. I actually kind of think, I mean, it would almost be too ridiculous and there would, you know, there would be too much happening, I think. You know, I think one of the challenges, for example, with strategy, you know, and one reason they don't cast a season full of game strategists is that they have to tell a story. And they have to, you know, if too much is going on, you can't capture it all. You know, you need something, you need like action, but it can't be too much action. There can't be too many different levels of strategy. And I think the problem with everyone having an idol is that the chaos would kind of exceed 44 minutes ability to capture it. So I think it's fun and it's a little bit, you know, in your face about a very common complaint that we all have with all the idols. But I think it might actually lead to bad television.
Yeah, I hear both sides of it. On the one side, it's like, hey, every vote has to be a blind side because you got to get rid of people's idols. But I wonder if the early votes would turn into very complex idol flushing, assuming there were good players out there, and would, you know, like the first vote be a tie. So we had idols get flushed and people try to play their idols. And I think it would probably become too confusing to watch as a TV show.
I agree. I think it would just be madness. You know, they'd really, I mean, maybe if, you know, yeah, I don't know. I think there's no, the idol is sort of like a narrative focal point. And if you have like too many narrative focal points, you know, it just like, it becomes, it's just, you know, the same problem as having zero idols.
Okay. So Steven, can we save this idea? Is there anything we could do to find the happy medium between more idols and not every single person having an idol?
Is there, you know, like one, like, it's like, I don't know. I don't think like five idols or 10 idols like solves the problem. You know, I think that you have the same problem and then it has the additional problem of the power disparity. Like the virtue of everyone having an idol is that there's not this, you know, silliness of like one person has it, then they're overpowered. You know, I think there's no way to neuter this there's no way to fix this without neutering it.
How about this, Steven? What do you think of some sort of, you know, this week in the Big Brother house, they added a button into the house where if they push it, something was going to happen. What if there was some sort of like in your tribe, there was just a unhidden immunity idol? It was just there. Anybody could take it. It's like, you know, the apple in the Garden of Eden. And it was just like hanging there and anybody could take it at any time. What do you think about that idea?
The first person to get to camp is going to pick it up, right?
And then but they arrive like, as a group. They all eight, you know, eight, nine, 10 people, they get there at once. And there it is hanging like from a tree.
Right. Wasn't that kind of what happened in Survivor Samoa or Survivor Heroes versus Villains, where they all knew there was an idol at their camp and they all kind of agreed as a group, all right, no one will take the idol. And then Russell, you know, went digging in the sand and found it. Like, it's just going to be like someone at night is going to like get up and steal it. It's kind of a fun idea.
Yeah, and it's like, who took the idol? Who has the idol?
Yeah.
We all said nobody was going to take it.
I think it's kind of a fun idea. I kind of dig that. Like just, you know, what happens when the person grabs it? It definitely would create drama. I like that a lot. Good thinking.
Okay. So we're going to say Noah to the personal idol twist, but we like we want to call it the Garden of Eden idol.
The apple in the Eden. Yeah, the Garden of Eden idol is going to Samoa.
Okay, here we go. Here's one, and this comes to us from somebody with ties to the show, our friend Miles Nye.
I love Miles.
Miles, who works as a consultant to Survivor in the Challenge department, was a guest of our show this summer.
He's a super nice guy.
Yes, very, very nice guy. Very, a lot of fun. He says, since they do two seasons at a time now in a row, what about Survivor 31, all men, Survivor 32, all women?
Interesting. Of course, Jeff Probst doesn't think that women can be good Survivor players.
What are you talking about? There's like two or three women in the Strategic Six.
Yeah. Was it Andrea and Parvati?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I guess I can't debate that. You're losing a little bit of like the flirtation element, but actually that might be a great loss, right? Like because the flirtation thing is always this weird and sort of like it never goes anywhere. I think it's a really cool idea.
So Survivor 31 is all men. Now we can do some things with this. Now we can make it a more physical season. We can have, you know, Greco-Roman wrestling for we know we could do all sorts of different stuff that we couldn't maybe necessarily do if it was a co-ed season. I don't know, would we be interested in Survivor all dudes?
I mean you're absolutely right. Like one of the reasons that challenges have this weird balance of, you know, balance, I mean obviously you want to, even among men there will be people of different physical skill sets, but have it, you know, there is sort of a gender disparity, right, with like different types of challenge skills. And one of the reasons that the challenges need to sort of run the gamut is so that disparity doesn't get magnified and just like them strong dudes can kind of muscle their way to the end, literally. Yeah, I think that's a really fun idea where it would just really, how disappointing would it be though to show up on the beach that first day, you know, and be like, what? You know, I thought I was going to have some beautiful women out here with me. And instead,
So Survivor 31 is all guys. Survivor 32, all women. I think that's even more interesting.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I think that's a really fun, what are the downsides here, Rob? Like, what are the things that could work against this idea?
All right, Survivor 31, there's the downside that we will lose a lot of ratings of there are people that tune in because there are women in bathing suits on TV.
Right. Absolutely. The Tim Lannisters of the world.
And so that is a thing. That is that is a possibility that we are going to lose ratings because of this.
Yeah. Obviously, the goal of the show is ratings, right? It's a business as much as it is a creative endeavor. But, you know, you hope that then, yeah, I mean, you have that. So, right. You always have the kind of everybody, no matter what your type. Well, that's not true. Right. But like, you know, to have a co-ed season, you're serving most of the people. It's dangerous from like a ratings perspective, but what about just from a pure creative perspective? Is there anything that you would lose? Like, does not having flirtation, does not having the threat of a woman's alliance, does, you know, does that hurt the game at all?
I don't think it would hurt the game. I think the game would be fun to see.
Yeah.
I think it would be an interesting social experiment. I'd love to see this like on a computer simulated, but I don't think that there's any chance we could do this as an actual season. I don't think that the network would sign off on this. I'm not sure it would be great TV.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Right. It also would limit the kind of, you know, the kind of types of characters you have, right? Because one thing that Survivor does very well is they cast very archetypal characters where you always have the older lady who has a mom role. You always have the young jock, you know, you have the beach beauty, you have the brainy schemer, you know, and then to have it just be 20 guys would be, I mean, it's you know, similar to my John Smith idea, but it would, you'd have the challenge of...
Could all the guys be named John Smith? Wasn't this your idea?
Yeah, it's interesting. Great minds, Miles. You'd have the it might limit, like you might have like fewer of those kind of clear character types, you know, maybe for better or for worse.
Yeah, I think that especially like
there's Survivor token chains behind you. Hey, yes, way to go.
There you go. So especially like when there are like a couple of guys who are like the bro-y guys, it's hard to keep track of them, or there's like a couple of blonde women or a couple of brunette women. Sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. I think we'd also have a hard time differentiating between, you know, some of the 18 to 20 people of the same gender when there's like, you know, three 20 somethings who are blonde. I think it might take us a few weeks to really be able to tell who's who.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's even a problem already where you have that, you know, and I think that you're absolutely right. With 20 people and, you know, you're going to have like big knots of kind of similar character types.
All right. So I'm sorry, Miles. I think we're going to have to say Noah to Survivor 31, all men. Survivor 32,
disagree.
All women.
I think it goes to Samoa, Rob. And here's why. I think because it's a good creative idea. Our problems with it are based on the network and their inability to do it. I think it'd be a great season, though.
It would be fun to watch, but I don't think that we can. We can't realistically sign off on this will be a twist to help Survivor.
Okay. All right. Fine. Under duress. Oh,
sorry,
man.
Sorry.
Oh, boo.
This is the best of the best, Steven.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about, let's see.
Reality is always crushing our dreams. You know, you have a great idea and then just, you know, the economics. Yeah.
All right. How about this? This is from David. And David writes in to say, all right, Rockin' Rob and smooth talking Steve.
Oh, that's nice. Smooth talking.
Help me out. Here's a twist, but I can't decide whether it is any good or not. All right. That's where we come in. It came to me when they started shooting seasons in the same location back to back.
Oh, this is an inspiration for people.
And it can only be implemented in an even number season. The twist is called Undercover All-Stars.
Oh, wow.
Take three soon-to-be popular players from an odd-numbered season and place each on a different tribe in the even-numbered season that follows it a month later.
Wow.
Jeff can tell all the players on day one, each tribe has a secret contestant that has played the game before, and the newbies won't recognize them because their season hasn't aired. The question is, will the returnees reveal themselves? Will they reveal each other? Is there some additional twist the producers can throw to ensure that it's in the returnees' best interest to keep them undercover? All right. So what do we think of this?
Why three? What, like, isn't two better?
You could do two. You could do three. Let's work in the big picture, though, first.
Three is a weird number. You know, sometimes the details affect the big picture in a fundamental way.
Okay, fine. Two. Let's talk about it.
Okay. That's a cool idea. Suddenly you've got, you know, there's the chance for someone to really step forward and own being the all-star and kind of pull a coach and rally the group around them and say, hey, I know this game. I'll lead you. Then there's the chance for someone to really hide in the shadows and use all of those skills because, you know, playing Survivor really is the best training to play Survivor, right? You know, you see it time and time again where these returnees come and they just know the game so much better. And to play naive in that situation would be, you know, that would be really bold, you know, an interesting kind of strategy. So and if you could even cast, you know, one of each, you know, the one guy, you know, who you knew was going to kind of like take the lead and do that and then cast the guy who's a little or the girl who's a little more devious and who's going to, you know, be a little bit more subtle in her strategy. That could be a really fun thing for the viewers to watch, too.
Yes, I think it would be very fun for the viewers. Now, let's take it in a couple of parts. Do you like the part where Jeff says on day one, by the way, each of your tribes has somebody who played in our previous season that was filmed before this and you don't know who it is? Do you like that part or should they be able to play the game and not have, like Jeff doesn't say on day one, by the way, a star of an 80s TV series is on one of the tribes, but we're not going to tell you who it is.
Yeah. I really like the idea with Jeff announcing it. I think that, you know, puts more pressure. It drives the drama, right? The drama is you have these two people, but it really forces the drama. You know, it creates suspicion among the tribe. It creates, you know, it really kind of pushes forward to the people to really have to make a choice about how they're going to play it. I think it's an interesting idea.
Now, what would stop that person from saying, hey, guys, by the way, I'm the secret person?
You know, because there's a fear that if you differentiate yourself, you're going to be targeted, right? Or you think, hey, you know, I've developed these skills while I've been doing this. One part of those skills are being able to deceive people, you know, guide people. Like, why suddenly announce that I've got all these, you know, that I did so well when I can now kind of just, you know, use my skills in a way. And I can also, you know, I can always later announce. I can't unannounce that I'm the person. Or what if someone else says they're the person, right? Wouldn't that be great? Like someone who's not the person says they're the person.
Yeah, but the person would know. The other person would know.
But yeah. then they could say me too, and be like, how would you choose? It's like when Kirk fights Kirk, in Star Trek VI. How do you know which is the real Kirk?
Yeah, it's a good question. Which one is Iman?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Survivor Undercover All Star. I think a lot of it would depend on who the person was, also.
Yeah, of course, you've got to have dynamic people. Someone like Malcolm would be really fun, right? Like if Malcolm had just immediate, well, I guess he did. But Malcolm sort of had the reverse thing, right? Where he was like the standout from 25 and he immediately did 26 and nobody knew who he was. But a lot of them were all-stars. And then same thing with Russell Hance. But it would be interesting if it was just that person leading a tribe.
Do you like the idea that the two people are allies, or do we want to find two people who hate each other?
I think hate is good. I think ultimately, no matter what, people who know each other, who have been on a season together, are going to be more inclined, right, to collaborate. So, but if you could get like a coach and an Aussie or something, who just really didn't like each other. But even they like thought they could, so I think hating each other, right? You always want more drama.
More drama.
Okay. Yeah.
So Survivor Undercover All-Stars, Noah, or are you going to Samoa?
I say send it to Samoa, Rob.
You're going to Samoa.
Oh my God. Way to go.
All right. Undercover All-Stars. Boom.
That's a good one. I have never heard that one before.
You're going to Samoa. Okay. This one comes to us from one of our listeners, Sophie Georgina. She says, OMG, what if the survivors live tweeted during the game, tweets written down by producers, and then they were tweeted daily during the season for a real immersive experience, like an interactive living room?
I've thought of that before. It would be fun. You could time shift tweets. It just seems like a weird and like very cumbersome mechanic.
Okay, so I actually like this. And this is from Sophie Sophie G. Clark. Now I thought this when I first read this, I thought she was just being flip about like, oh, what if you let the survivors tweet during the show? But I actually really like this idea of the survivors in real time, like right. going to the. Tell the producer their tweets and then some sort of CBS casting thing tweets out what they're saying. But then it's not really them. So it's.
And is it, did they tell the producers 140 characters? Like what if their tweet goes over?
Yeah. So I think it's a cute idea, but I'm not sure necessarily what would be different about this than like the CBS or Survivor _ whatever their handle is, like transcribing a line that somebody said and then just tweeting it.
I mean, the cool thing is, one of the real problems or one of the things I feel that you lose with Survivor now is that you don't have the full picture of everyone's kind of goals, because it's a limited show, because it's a story, you don't really have, what some random person is, their end game plan is, it's always fun to see really what all of the different players are trying to do at any given time, what their strategies are, what their thoughts are. And it would be really cool to like always have that sense of, oh, now I can really see Hayden's plan. And this is why Hayden is acting in this way. I mean, the problem with that is that, ultimately the narrators are constructing a story or the producers are constructing a story. Part of that does involve, holding back information that would spoil it, right? If you could see that everyone was playing for Tyson to win, then you'd be like, well, that's boring. If it was so obvious that Tyson was it was even watching the show, right? So like, if you could even more see how much like one person was just dominating things, would that improve things?
Yeah. And what are the chances they would tweet something interesting and not like, love you, mom, hashtag like best mom ever.
Well, this is like miss the you. Producers, right? That's why the producers step in here, I guess, is that they sort of moderate that. But but then ultimately, if it's going through the filter of the producers, then it's just the show.
Time shifted tweets. What do you think? Noah, or are you going to Samoa?
I like the thinking. Use digital media, enhance the show, but I can't send that to Samoa.
All right. Yeah. I got one more from Sophie.
Okay.
Sophie suggests They go around the country looking for people who have never heard of the show Survivor. When they find them, they immediately put them in lockdown to play. Equals Borneo repeat? Question mark.
Isn't that a bad thing? Like, wasn't the strategy on Borneo terrible?
All right. So what are you're saying? So you're saying you love it?
I love it. I think, you know, we'll have just a group of people from, you know, just like people from the, you know, the without electricity. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. What is the difference between casting people who have never heard of Survivor and Mactors?
Exactly. They also have never heard of Survivor, or they've heard of it. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
They know it exists. All right. I'm sorry, Selfie. All right. Her strategy is better than her ideas for new seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to, this is from Mackie. Mackie says, this would be an ideal final edition of Survivor. So this is Survivor, the final season.
The final solution.
If they wanted to end the whole series with a bang.
Yeah.
The final Survivor game would be played for 45 days.
Wow.
And they would open the game for any alumni who has ever played Survivor. Meaning if 300 people wanted to participate, they could.
And they would. They would.
Once everyone is on the island, the first 6 days are spent whittling the number of contestants down from X number to 20.
Wow. How do you whittle?
We don't know.
There's no whittling mechanic. The whittling is like the whole premise here.
We have like a swimming race, and then whoever doesn't make it, then.
Oh, my God.
On the seventh day, that's when the actual game is played. Okay? For 39 days. The first challenge is to get everyone to form their own tribes of 8 to 10.
Mm.
If you watch American Idol, the season's best drama happens during the group where people scramble to create their groups overnight.
Yeah.
During the next few days, they play against each other, and the winning tribe stays, and losing tribes go home until there's 6 tribes left of 60 players.
Good Lord. This how are you going to show this on television?
On the sixth day, the game becomes individual.
Wow.
And they're allowed to choose between participating in an endurance challenge or compete in a course. The last 10 standing in the endurance challenge and first 10 to finish the course comprise the 20 players who play the final game in the 39 days remaining. And then it's game on as usual.
What is the course about?
Obstacle course.
Oh, obstacle course. Wait, wasn't it it's endurance or obstacles? Isn't there should be some third option?
Okay, so Stephen, what do you think of this? Final season. 300 people! 45 days!
Let's agree that the first 6 days are unfilmable and unwatchable. So basically everything
it's a little Hunger Games-esque.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting as digital content, right? Like, could you get all 300 survivors to somehow compete to be on the show? I think that would actually be kind of like a fun season or a fun, like, you know, pre-show kind of season that, you know, where you did that. It wouldn't necessarily have to be on location, but you get all the former survivors who have, you know, they've all got their reasons and they all think that they deserve to be back on the show. And, you know, then the danger is, of course, then you end up with, you know, the tribe of Jeffress.
Yeah. I mean, don't we have a really, possible chance that the final season of Survivor is like a tribe of like Brooke Bourgeois, Ryan Aiken, Carolina, you know, all these people, and this is it.
Yeah. This is why, casting is such a crucial part of this whole experience is so that you weed those people out. And then those were the people who made it through.
For the record, Steven, I would not go. I would not go on the Survivor free for all. No, I'm not going to be one of the 300 people.
I don't think I would go back if it were just 20, but I think for 300, I would go just for like the madness.
300. All right. Yeah. So Steven, what do you say? You going to Samoa or Hell Noah?
Why do I always have to make the call? Can't you make the hard decisions?
Cause I have the buzzer.
Oh, I guess Hell Noah, right?
All right. Yeah. Sorry. All right. We'll come up with something else. All right. Let's touch back on something that we talked about in the first Think Tank, the Survivor No World. Some people had some interesting twists on that. Let me just give you a couple of those real quick. Don Shook says, start the season as the one tribe scenario, 18 people on one beach, then have them stay together that way until the first immunity challenge on day 3, and then before the challenge, randomly pick three tribes, evenly split male, female.
Isn't this like Survivor Palau?
But with three tribes. But with three tribes.
Survivor Palau with three tribes.
And it would be another day. I think they did that at the end of the first day. So they would actually be living together in Survivor No World for an additional like day and a half.
But what does that add, other than the third tribe, which is, you know, I love three tribes. What does that add that Survivor Palau didn't have?
I think you get to know each other a little better. And then after the merge, you could see more flip-flopping.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that the lesson that we've seen is that people stick pretty closely to the people that they're, you know, most recently with, right?
Okay.
I don't think that you're going to see a lot of flip-flopping based on this, and I think it would just be madness.
Okay. Similarly, Krista says, I like the idea of a one-world type twist, but don't tell the players which tribe they're on until the first immunity challenge, and then hopefully this eliminates first-day alliances. So that's a similar idea.
Don't tell the people which tribe they're on. That's interesting. So that is a similar idea. What do you think? Give me some juice here, Rob. What do you think about these things?
I think it's good. I would be into it. I mean, I've been a proponent of Survivor No World. I'm also a proponent of three tribes. So,
yeah.
You know, I like that idea of, you know, oh, my God, everybody's like freaking out before up until the first challenge. Oh, my God, we're all on the same team. Is it individual immunity? And then when we get to the challenge, like, all right, well, time to meet your new tribes. And
is there a way to like, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
And it doesn't even need to be a pick'em. Like, you know, Jeff said, like, oh, by the way, you know, we predetermined already what your tribes are. So come get your buff. You know, John Smith, you're on the red tribe. John Smith, you're on the red tribe. John Smith, you're on the red tribe.
Yeah.
And they didn't even
like it already. You sold me on it.
Yeah. And the twist on John Smith is that they all get there the first day, like, hey, what's your name? Like, John Smith. No, I'm John Smith. What do you mean you're John Smith? Oh my God, there's two John Smiths. Hey, are you talking about me? No.
I'm kind of into it. I'm kind of getting sold in it because you're right. Like the random or the predetermined tribe like adds a lot because then you could really bond with someone who's not going to like, that was the thing with Survivor Palau was that, you know, the people who people bonded with, they ended up on the same tribe for. But if you bonded with someone really closely and then we're on the opposite tribe, you know, that's a cool idea. What do you think there's a way to incorporate some vote off mechanic where it's all 18 and there is like one tribal council and because the way that Wanda and Jonathan Libby went out kind of felt crappy because they just like didn't get picked.
We don't like that. We don't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. But is there a different way thing to happen where someone does get really voted out by this whole like 18 person consensus?
So you want somebody, you want to have a tribal council with 18 votes? Do we have enough chairs?
And I guess that wasn't that kind of what happened with Sylvia, right? Like in the Survivor Fiji? What happened there?
That she got voted out by 18 people?
Well, there were 19 people, right? Or there were 17. There was an even number because Melissa McNulty didn't show up. So,
and she went to Exile Island, right?
She went to Exile Island and then she came back and I think she got to like choose what tribe to be with or something. No, I'm kind of digging it. I kind of dig the no world and then the tribe split. That's a kind of a fun idea. I mean, the only problem with the no world, you know, which is the same problem as the one world, is it's a little bit harder just to meet the people and learn about them, right? Then the different tribes makes it easier to kind of distinguish people straight out of the gate.
Okay. And what if it, could we like add on top of it? Could it be like a brains versus beauty versus brawn? And they didn't know it was a brains versus beauty versus brawn. And then when we see them together, like, oh, I'm with the other nerds.
Yeah. That would be fun. Except that, again, it would be like totally random, right? Like who's brains versus who's beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then one more thing on this from Peter Fiverson. He says, what about the one world or no world in this instance? But this time they're one tribe, but they split the teams schoolyard style between before each challenge. So you end up going to the immunity. There's no tribe whatsoever.
Right.
And then before the immunity challenge, there's still team immunity. You pick new tribes based on whatever before the immunity challenge, and then you go to the tribal council with the people you lost the challenge with.
What do you think?
I think it would be fun, but I think it would be hard to tell the story on TV with that.
I think it's confusing. And I also think like one of the fun things in Survivor every season is how kind of these social dynamics play out within groups. and how, you know, being part of a group affects that so much. And, you know, this you'd really lose that here. And I've always felt there's something a little bit false about, you know, not false, but like, you know, I never like it quite as much when there's like a random pick 'em in challenges, you know, later on in the season. And you're like, oh, these three people are together and these three people are together. Like, who cares, you know?
Yeah. But if it was for immunity, I feel like it might raise the stakes a little bit.
Right. That's true. That's really true.
So I feel like I like it, but I think it would be hard to say on TV.
Yeah.
All right. So,
But yeah, we're sending the first one, right? That first idea was pretty good.
Okay. So we'll do Survivor, No World, plus then it's actually Three Tribes.
Yeah. And Three Tribes, that's, you know, loves Three Tribes.
Like Three Tribes.
Three Tribes makes it. Why is it not always, why is it ever Two Tribes?
Because you got to get blood versus water in there. You got to do the blood versus water.
Three family members.
BBW.
Three loved ones.
Loved ones?
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. Yeah. There you go. You're going to Samoa. All right.
Congratulations.
Let's see. Okay. Here's one from Canadian Dave. Canadian Dave says, all right, instead of or in addition to an immunity idol, there should be an immunity password.
Oh.
Once found, the password must be memorized and the note containing it destroyed.
Wow.
Whoever finds the password can tell anyone they want, but it must be memorized because the note was destroyed. But there's no way for them to prove that they actually found the real password. So the person that they're telling or sharing the password with has to trust them.
Right.
Anyone wanting to use the password submits it on a separate parchment when they cast their vote. It can only protect the person using it. If two or more people play the same password, nobody is protected. If someone plays an incorrect password, something bad happens to them. It should either count as an extra vote against them or cancel the vote they just cast. As with the idol, once it's played, then the password is dead. And another password may be inserted into the game. The twist would add a whole new layer of intrigue and chaos into the game. All right. So, Steven, what do we think of the immunity password?
So let's talk through the advantages of the immunity password here, right?
It's an interesting idea. Let's talk about then what the immunity password should be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So the advantages of the immunity password are suddenly, I mean, it's similar to Colin's idea of having an idol that has no power, right? In that it's all about leveraging information, you know, so you can tell someone else the password or you can not tell them the password. You can tell them a fake password. You can tell them the password and then also play the password. And then suddenly their password is no good. So there's a lot of it adds a lot of complexity to the game in a way that kind of could be interesting. I mean, there's also, of course, the danger, you know, I think we might be there's the danger of it being unfilmable again, because it's like, it's maybe hard to keep track of for the viewer, but like let's not use that as a rationale,
okay,
you know, too often. Cause I do think like, you know, some of these things would be impossible to film, but I think this one, it sounds difficult, but I think it is possible. What do you think?
I like this. I think it would be very fun. I'm not sure if necessarily the logistics of putting it in the voting urn. I wonder if maybe somebody needs to stand up at tribal council and say, Jeff, the immunity password is,
you know. It's a little Big Brother in how like corny it is. You know, it's a little bit like, it doesn't have
how
the real.
How dare
like,
you?
Yeah. It doesn't have that sort of like sense of seriousness that I think really distinguishes Survivor. Like, but you know, maybe is there a different thing than the password that could be, I don't know. What are potential passwords here?
All right. So the passwords are come on in, guys.
Yeah,
it has to be a Jeff Probst phrase.
What are you playing for? What we're playing for or something.
Yeah. What do you
I want to know what you're playing for.
Yeah. So I think those would be all good. Jeff Probst. It has to be like you have to dig deep, all stuff like that. That's the type of password it's going to be.
Or like Malcolm is losing control of those balls.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. So what do we think? Yes or no? You're going to Samoa or hell no for the immunity password?
What are the negatives of the password? Like, let's talk through the negatives a little bit.
Talk through the negatives that it's you know, you have, it could never get played.
Right. That doesn't really seem like, right?
Here's what we want. This is the scenario we want. We want somebody to tell the other person a password and have it be fake. Or we want somebody to tell somebody the password and they sort of like, they kind of get it wrong. And like, and that is not the immunity password.
There's, or like someone fakes someone out, you know, like, tells them the real password, but then plays. I mean, just some kind of duplicity basically is what we want. We want lying.
Yeah, that's what we want. And we want people getting things wrong and making a fool of themselves.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of opportunities with this.
We want, you know, evil people and public humiliation.
Yes, and shaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll say, dumbest move ever, dumbest survivor ever. So I like this.
That's the lifeblood of this podcast.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was talking to Nicole last night. And I forgot what we were talking about, but she was like, you know, it's no wonder people hate you guys. If I was on Survivor, Nicole and I were talking about, and Nicole was like, do you think that I would be good on... I would be good on Survivor. I was like, well, honey, I think you should, I don't think you'd have fun. I don't think it would be good. And she's like, if I was on Survivor and then you and Steven were talking about something I did wrong, I would hate both of you guys.
Yeah. Like, people hate us. I thought people liked us.
She's like, oh man. She says, it's no wonder that people hate us.
I didn't know that. This is eye opening.
Yeah. She says that you two sit there and you think you're so smart. You know everything and you weren't even there. Yeah.
It's true.
She's like on Jatia's side. All right.
So you're either with us or you're against us.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. All right. So what do you think? Survivor password.
Let's try it out. Let's roll. Let's
go to Samoa.
Yeah.
You're going to Samoa, Canadian Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we'll go ahead and take that. Let's see. Scott has a question up. Let's see what some of the people that are watching the show have to say.
Good.
Let's go ahead. Let's take this.
Read it? I got it. All right. Tom Polite says, I like the idea of more players. I would love to see a season like this. For the final season, I would love to see 30 players for 51 days. Three tribes of 10. One tribe is all winners. One tribe is all runners up. I like it. And the third tribe is all the best. So that you could play too.
Okay. So, all right. This is Tom Polite. Steven, did you see this week? Tom Polite made the official Survivor Know It Alls season 5 hype video.
Oh, is that? Oh, I love that. That was so fun. I really felt, that was a fun video.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So what is this? This is going to be Survivor 30 is going to be 51 days.
Right.
Three tribes of 10. Okay. Right. All winners, all runners up, and third is the best of the rest.
Yeah. I like it. Well, I mean, the challenge with more players, again, it's that same issue of like, is this filmable? Is this watchable? Does it fit into the network's programming schedule, right? Like, let's ignore all that. And let's just say, what do we think of this three tribe, all winners, all runners up, and best of the rest?
Can it be first people off also?
Four tribes.
Yeah, four tribes. No, I mean, I think that's, I'm sure it would be good. You know, I'm not sure, Steven, how many, great runners up are there? Let's say, okay, let's put you there. Let's put Russell there. Could we fill a tribe up of interesting runners up?
Oh, yeah. You got Coach. You got a lot of good ones. You got Danielle DiLorenzo. I feel like there's definitely you got Courtney Yates is a runner up.
Yeah.
You got Amanda Kimmel's a runner up. You know, you got some, Colby Donaldson is a runner up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's fair. That's fair. All right.
Kelly Wigglesworth.
All right. So you're going to play winners. I think that's a good idea. I don't know if it needs to be 51 days. I think you lose me on when we start adding more days to it.
Matthew von Erdefelder.
Sure. Oh, you gotta get Matthew von Erdefelder. Okay. All right. So let's try to pick up the pace a little bit because I have so many more ideas I want to get to.
All right. Let's go faster. All right. Lightning round.
Will Sardo says, "My twist for a twist."
No. Oh, sorry.
Involves Jeff Probst getting into the game. In this twist, the first 3 days of the game would stay exactly the same. The tribes are divided up. Jeff hands them their buffs. Mm-hmm. They compete for immunity, with the losing tribe going to tribal council as per usual. However, at the second immunity channel, challenge, the tribes would walk up and notice Jeff Probst is nowhere to be found.
Instead,
a new host, perhaps a former survivor, is
Boston
there
Rob.
To greet the tribes. Suddenly, an RV engine is heard, and the tribes turn around to see Jeff Probst walking up to the mat of the tribe that just went to tribal council. And the new host announces that Jeff is now part of the losing tribe and hands him a buff.
What if it's a series of as people are voted off, the host then becomes part of that new tribe? So then you got Boston Robbins joins the tribe. Then, you know, Parvati joins and Cochran joins.
How does the show end?
It just keeps on going. Until we're out of the 300s.
It's like Utopia.
Yeah. I don't know about this. I don't really see the advantage of Jeff playing instead of hosting. You know, there's a danger that he's out 3 days later. What does Jeff gain from this? I'm not in love with this.
Yeah, you don't think this would be a ratings winner? Jeff Probst becomes a member of the tribe?
Do you think this would be a ratings winner?
I
think it would be fun to see Jeff play. The danger is, A, he's immediately out, and then we're stuck with a season hosted by Boston Rob.
Hey, Steven, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is a ratings winner. I think there's no chance Jeff Probst would ever agree to do this.
Yeah. I definitely think it's a hype winner. I think it would be like a lot of great, you know, Entertainment Weekly articles, you know, leading up to the twist.
Yes. And how do you think Jeff would do?
I bet he would win. I think Jeff would win. I really believe that. You know, you want to hang out with him. You know, you want you want him to like be your mentor. So yes. you take him to the end and he beats you.
All right. So, going to Samoa or Hell Noah?
Hell Noah.
All right.
We have consensus, right? Whenever you do the buzzer,
I disagreed with you. I would say.
All right. Okay.
All right. This is from Kasten Swedenborg, who wants to say, this is an idea from Survivor South Africa that has been slightly modified. Pre-merge, you get a black necklace where the holder automatically has a vote against them.
Wow. Who gets it?
To determine who has the necklace, there's a vote similar to Blood versus Water where you vote who is most unlikely to win. The holder of the necklace is able to get rid of it by mutinying to the other tribe before the immunity challenge. If they choose to do that, then they decide on who from their former tribe they give the necklace to. If the necklace holder is voted out, then on their way out, they decide who they give the necklace to. So it's like the cursed necklace.
Wait, so what are the power of the necklace is that the wearer has a vote against them?
Yes, every tribal council. So you wear the necklace. We show up to tribal council. All right, that's one vote, Steven.
This is fantastic. I love this idea.
You love it.
I love it because, you know, obviously the person having the necklace is a huge target around them, but you don't want to be on their bad side because they could be the one to, you know, they could give it to you next. Love it.
Okay. Survivor curse necklace. We're in on this.
Send it to Samoa right away. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. So what about the elements of the changing of it? So you can mutiny to the other tribe and get rid of the curse necklace. You like that?
Only the first person can mutiny, right? Or can anyone mutiny?
Let me see. I think it might be at each challenge. The holder of the necklace is able to get rid of it by mutinying to the other tribe before the immunity challenge.
So any point in time, the person can just join. I love it. I think that's so fun. It would just create so much drama, so many dynamics. I think all of it is great, and they should absolutely do it. It is like a reverse immunity idol in that it both draws attention to you, but it's also a black mark. But it does give you some weird power, or like by being that focal point, by sort of having that attention on you, you know, you have something, right? There's always something with standing out, both good and bad. And, you know, you have a real threat in your hand. You know, the immunity idol is a threat that you can save yourself. But to say, if you vote me out, you're screwed. I will curse you with this. Like, and that's not an idle threat. You know, that's a real threat. It's not the sort of like, I'm not going to vote for you at the end. You know, like there's a real game danger.
Yes. Curse necklace. You're going to Samoa.
Going to Samoa.
They actually did something similar to this on The Quest this week, Steven. I know you're a big fan of The Quest.
I had to stop watching The Quest because it was too terrible.
The vizier gave the queen a curse necklace this week.
The vizier. You know, I thought that he was a good guy.
Like a good guy, but we're raising our eyebrow about him. Kyle Faber says, What do you think of the possibility of Probst offering some form of temptation at Tribal, such as giving up your vote in order to get food or an advantage?
Interesting. So you lose the vote.
So it's like, all right, so it is time to vote. I do have this cheeseburger here. Who doesn't want to vote tonight?
Oh, wow. I would absolutely always take the cheeseburger. Because voting is actually, you know, there's like a danger in voting. You have to vote for someone. You know, they're going to be pissed off if they're not the person voted out.
Who's feeling safe enough tonight to not cast a vote?
Yeah, if you're, and plus, like, then you become like Sandra, where it's like, you know, anybody but cheese. No, anybody, you know, where you're like always eating the cheeseburger, so you're not dangerous, you know, so no one's worried about you.
And now it's also right before the vote, and you could have somebody that's like, you know what, F Steven, and why that he's not going to vote with us. He's going to eat a cheeseburger.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I like so this is like Survivor Cheeseburger. I like it.
Survivor Cheeseburger. All right, Survivor Cheeseburger. You going to Samoa?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Samoa.
It's funny. It's funny, like Miles' idea, which could actually be like a really interesting, great dynamic where you go all men or all women. We said no, but yes to Survivor Cheeseburger.
Yeah, but that's just like, it's a little bit of a, like,
It's not as like a
fully. We're not shifting the paradigm.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, you know, out of the gate. It's like the little things that really distinguish the show.
Yeah, I think all men or all women could be interesting. I just don't know. Yeah. I'm too scared. I'm thinking like a programming executive. it's too out of the box.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's take this question from Matt Campbell, who says, okay, Survivor World Cup, Steven. Each contestant represents their nation of birth. It would be easy to find.
All America?
Yeah. All right. So I guess, well, let's, he suggests different countries. If we're going to keep it, we could do it by state also, I guess, if we wanted to. But do you like the idea of Survivor World Cup? If we had somebody from USA, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, UK, France, Germany, Sweden, yada, yada, yada. Survivor World Cup, yay or nay?
I don't know what that adds.
Yeah. Well, World Cup soccer is fun. You like people? Would you go to a bar at 4 a.m. to go watch a Survivor World Cup?
I mean, will they be playing soccer against each other?
No. One of the challenges will be soccer.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to have that. I don't know what it adds.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting any extra viewing. So sorry, Matt Campbell. We're gonna say Noah. Okay. All right. Let's go to Andrew Armani. And he says, Rob, you sort of mentioned this in the Twistery podcast, but I have been thinking about how a tribe separation might be cool. Start, say, with two tribes of nine. Okay. And then at 15, we break into three groups of five and then back down to
groups.
Two tribes at 12 and then maybe merge at 9, 10 or 11. Would that create as many new dynamics as a shuffle or swap? And it also could potentially create more storylines. So, Steven, start two tribes of nine, three episodes in, we break it down to three tribes of five.
So it's basically a swap, but it's going to three tribes instead of two tribes.
Yes. So I had said this, that we start with three and then we go to two and then we go to one. I thought it might be interesting to start with two, then go to three, then go back to two and then go to one.
I like it a lot. I mean, the danger with that, of course, is that, you know, you're going to have there's already the danger when you do the swap that you're going to have one or two odd people out. And those people, you know, the dynamic is going to be not interesting because, you know, the person who's at the bottom or who's the odd person out is immediately voted off. Right. But I like it. You know, I'm always a fan of the three tribes. You know, I like three tribes to start maybe a little more, but, you know, let's try it, man. Let's try two and three. Let's see what happens.
Let's throw it at the wall.
Yeah, why not? You know what? It's not our show.
All right. Andrew, what do you say? You're going to Samoa.
Woo!
Okay, here we go. Let's go to Jess. And Jess says, okay, Survivor Rivals. This is one I've been pushing for this for a while.
I've been pushing for Rivals. So, I mean, in the last think tank, we were all about, we were both all about Survivor Rivals. I love this idea.
Okay, but there was no blood versus water at that time.
Right.
So let's just revisit it real quick. Starting everyone out on one tribe, but the rivals' pairs have to play as one until the merge, where the pairs are broken and everybody can play for themselves. The biggest issue is having two people leave at once. So maybe if you vote out a pair, they have to compete in a challenge to see who can come back. All right. So there's this idea, or we could just talk about it as a traditional blood versus water season.
I mean, the way that the challenge handles this kind of like team-based thing, I think is actually pretty elegant, where, like, you know, two teams will sort of be voted in, and then they'll have to compete against each other to see who's voted out. And in a duel sort of situation, which I think it's like a fun mechanic. It's not there's a vote element to it, but there's also, you know, a physical competition where the two teams have to compete together, you know? So, you know, if Russell and Sandra had to pull together to beat, you know, Jean-Robert and Courtney, like, how much fun would that be?
It would be great.
It would be great.
Yes. Anything rivals, we're into it. You're going to Samoa.
So Samoa.
Yes. So especially if we ever do Think Tank 3, take ideas that we already say we like and then get them, set them back to us.
We'll approve them.
All right.
Black necklace.
Andy Pfeiffer wants to know, this is a very bad idea suggested by a friend of mine.
Okay, maybe I think I know where I'll attend.
Since Natalie and Nadia are on the upcoming season, I think it's relevant, though. Blood versus water with all twins, Steven.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm going to like this.
This would completely remove the diversity of the casting and completely baffle everybody watching the show. Am I wrong in this assertion, or is this actually a good idea? All right, this is similar to John Smith, but this is on a micro level.
Right. I think it would be so impossible, you know, what if there was like one set of twins?
That's this season.
But are they really twins?
They're twins, but they're not. I don't think they're identical.
They're not identical. Yeah. I mean, like actually identical.
They
twins.
Are tricky to tell apart, though.
Yeah. Also, they're going to be on different tribes, right?
I haven't taken a look at the tribe breakdown yet.
Yeah. But like one pair, like if each tribe had a pair, like had a set of identical twins, that might be interesting.
Okay, so, and then would it be, what if, Steven, okay, so now the identical twins, all right, and somebody gets voted out, and it's like, okay, so let's say,
one takes the other's place.
Yeah, I'm on the season, and my identical twin, Bob, is on the season, so, all right, so
you have the same name.
I get voted out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead, my identical twin brother, he leaves the game.
Why would
he
do that?
Because we're bros.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, you screwed up, dude. If you know, it's on you.
We worked it out. He didn't want to play anymore.
Oh, he was done.
He was done.
Yeah, he was going to quit.
We switched clothes also.
So
we switched clothes.
That is so Bob.
And then would production let us do it?
Production, they're like, if it adds drama, you know, they'll do it.
All right. So what do you think? Nine sets of identical twins. We're going to say no. All right.
I think it's too confusing.
Too confusing. All right. Gene Damien Buison says, hey, know-it-alls. I know you're a mole fan, and so am I. Can you imagine a Survivor season with a one or two production moles for some added gameplay mechanics from that cool old show? Steven, should we have Survivor with a mole, aka a saboteur?
What about an America's player?
America's player? You couldn't do that because
you couldn't go real time. Yeah. But you could choose in advance what the person should do, and then they'd be stuck with those decisions.
Yes, or they could be like sort of like in a vacuum. Like, should America's tribe mate, should they like, you know, hit on one of their same-sex tribe mates, or should they go skinny dipping?
Right. So then, like, the producers could put it out there. We'd all vote. Yeah, I like it.
And we don't know who the person is beforehand.
We have no context for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Voting engagement would be minimal. Like one or two people would do this. You have zero context and no idea. So let's talk about the mole. Let's talk about the idea as presented to us. Or saboteur, you know, I think the saboteur is better than the mole because, you know, I don't love the idea of having someone who's just purely there to like create drama or like to drive story. But I think the idea of someone who's there to like screw with you is a little bit fun.
You know, I don't love the idea. I got to be honest. However, I do like it more if there are two. So there's like one person trying to blow the game for one tribe and then also somebody trying to blow the game for the other tribe.
Oh, you'd have to have one on each tribe for sure.
And then if that person gets voted out, they get nothing. You know,
if they
win the game, they get $2 million. They have to win. They have to get as far as they can, but for every tribe, every challenge their tribe loses, they get an additional $25,000.
Oh yeah, totally, absolutely. They get money for really screwing up the game for their tribe.
Okay,
I like it.
I don't know. I'm in.
I think so too.
I'm in. You're going to Samoa, Survivor the Mole. What do you want to call it though? We can't call it the Mole.
Right. I wouldn't say you can't call it Saboteur either, right? Because that was a Big Brother twist.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Survivor. Screwer Upper.
Monkey Wrench? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll work on that. We'll work on the name. Okay, so Survivor the Mole, you're going to
Survivor
Samoa.
Assassin.
Okay. To the assassin. Secret assassin.
Or like, you know, cannibal. Like, because you're devouring your own. Because, you know, it keeps the Survivor theme. No?
I'm not sure about that.
You're not into this.
Coach might get into it then. Okay. This is from John DeGrief.
Coach.
And he says, how about a returning player season consisting of players who left with an idol and then they get to return with their idols and the gameplay would have to go up a few notches. Every vote will need to be a blindside. Okay, so this is back to people coming into the game with idols. But
and it's
have,
like also some of the dumbest players. The people who were truly the worst of the game.
Got voted out with an idol, they get to come back with their idol. Does James get to come back with two idols?
I think so. That's the premise, right? Brendan comes back. I love Brendan. I feel like we deserve to see more Brendan. Who else would come back with an idol?
Andrea.
Sure.
Ozzy. Yeah.
I love it. So, what about people with fake idols? Can they come back into the game with fake idols?
Eliza can come back with a stick, sure.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be maybe a whole tribe of people with idols, but you know, the people who had idols. Now, would James have that like that big, bulky, like square immunity idol from China?
That's the premise. You got what you came with.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think? You like this or no?
Nope.
Noah. Okay. Sorry, John. Okay.
It is good players, though. It is like a fun group of people, right? Like, it's like no true losers got voted out with the idol, I don't think.
Okay. No true losers.
No true losers.
Only fake losers.
That's the name of my album, No True Losers.
Okay. Marlon A. has a question. What do you do on the album?
I sing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
Marlon A. says, college edition of Survivor. Four tribes of five divided by the university they go to, Steven.
No.
No. You wouldn't be rooting for the Yale tribe? Yale versus Harvard versus Princeton versus who else you want to throw in there?
Brown?
Yes.
Dartmouth?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. All the greats. What do you think of that, Rob?
No, I don't like the college idea, but it did make me wonder, is there some other affiliation that we're not thinking of yet that, you know, in addition to brains versus beauty versus brawn, is there something that we could do? Democrats versus Republicans, I feel like probably would not end up being very fun.
And like the regional diversity, I feel like the regional diversity of Survivor now actually gets in a lot of the advantages that we're sort of hinting at that aren't, you know, you don't need to have some like weird group affiliation to kind of capture that thing.
Is there any other, either whether it's a group or a, you know, personality type or anything that you can think of that we haven't explored yet?
Survivor Enneagrams, you know, you have someone's a one, someone's a two, someone's a three. No Enneagram reference. Someone out there is with me.
You're saying like from on a scale of 1 to 10, they're a one in
life. No, there's like a personality. You know, it's like it's like Myers Briggs. You know, you get your INTPs and your ENFJs.
Yes.
I was entirely joking. I don't know what would be. I just said that's what they are casting for anyways. Is diversity, right? Like, why minimize the diversity by having groups?
Well, brains versus beauty versus brawn was fun.
That was fun. That'd be the, yeah. So like some essential core personality type, like introverts versus extroverts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we want to get into religion.
I've always been a fan of the Jews versus Christians versus Muslims. I love that idea.
That's called the Middle East, Stephen. We don't need to see that play out on Survivor.
No, that's why we need to see. Like, how are we going to find healing if not through the lens of Survivor?
Survivor Gaza?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me know in the chat room if you guys have some ideas for that as we go along. All right. So on paper, we're going to say Noah to the colleges, right?
What about like job types, like senior management versus middle management versus laborers?
How about, we talked about this in Think Tank One of, you know, there were some suggestions of what about people that really need the money? And then we said, actually, no, it should be people who don't need the money because they're not afraid to take risks. Would you want to see maybe, you know, people that make less than $25,000 a year versus...
How about that, sir? Yeah.
Versus the elite, like people that make over $1 million a year in income.
I love this, like Survivor class warfare. I love this idea. I think that would be so fun.
Yeah.
You know, when I was, I mean, on Token Chains, everyone had this huge chip on their shoulder about Brendan because we knew that he had, the bare naked ducats. It was like we leaked before the season. And it was so great. It was like such a rallying cry. I think it would really motivate a really interesting dynamic.
Survivor rags versus riches.
Yeah, I'm into it.
All right. So you're going to Samoa?
Yeah, let's do it.
Survivor rags versus riches will be very good. And then you have like somebody, and then like in the rich tribe, you have like new money and old money people. Like there's like some like tech stock, you know, guys like Silicon Valley type guy. Yeah.
And then the wasps form like a beach club, and the Jews aren't allowed to hang out on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to Survivor rags versus riches. That's good. That's good.
What about faded wealth? You know, is there like a third tribe there, the people who used to be wealthy but lost it all?
Yeah. The people that maybe that could be somebody on the rags tribe. Like I had everything and now I'm in
that's
the hole.
Amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. This is a great, if you're listening out there. Are they? I guess they're not. Maybe they will.
We should send them the link.
Yeah. We need to send a list. We need to come up with a list of the best and send it to production.
Okay. Here we go.
Someone do that.
Steven from Matthew Caraco. He says, what if the hidden immunity idol came in two pieces and you needed both to wield the idol?
Great.
You need to either have to bargain or blindside to get the other piece. So this is, we'll call this the Boardwalk Park Place idol.
So wait, if you are the Monopoly idol.
The Monopoly idol, yes.
If you are blindsided, then you have to give up your piece? Why can't you burn it?
I guess you could do both.
But he says you have to blindside to get the full idol.
Oh, I mean, I think if you blindsided the person, then that idol, piece of the idol would go back into the game and be
hidden. Oh, so they don't give it to you. It gets like,
It goes back into the game. You could find it again. I believe they would call this the Sun Spear, right?
what is the sword that Aragorn wields? Anduil or something? You know, maybe. I think so.
Yeah.
Survivor Anduil.
Okay. So what do you think? Multi-part hidden immunity idol. Here's why I don't like this, Steven. I think it's going to prevent usage of the hidden immunity idol. I think we're going to see less use of the hidden immunity idol.
What if it's like the special idol, the super-powered idol? You know, you've got your normal idols like in last season, but you've got your Tyler Perry idol. And, you know, and like one of, and, you know, you got Tyler Perry, but you also have to have the fat suit for it to have its full impact. So in order for them to work together,
that's fine. If you want to give a superpower idol and you want to have it harder to get, you can't just find one piece.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
All right.
No, I think it's great.
All right. Two part Sun Spear Monopoly idol. You're going to Samoa.
Mm.
Okay. Austin Humes says, my idea is a Survivor tournament. It consists of three seasons.
Mm.
The first two seasons has 20 returning castaways.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the jury, you get to go to the third season.
Oh.
I think this would be a very interesting way to see how castaways will play with people they worked with or screwed over before. All right, top 40 Survivor players of all time.
Mm.
We got the top 40. And we're going to put them all in two seasons, play back to back. Wouldn't the people who played in the first of the two seasons have a big advantage?
I don't know. I mean, you can say they have an advantage. You can say they have a disadvantage. You know, there's no way to like bias that. You know, that's always the case with the returning players. Well, There's people who knew each other. They played together. I don't think you can do that. I mean, I've been a little bit anti-returning players, right? We're all in love with the new players, but kind of dig it. You know, I think it's a fun idea. I mean, I think the problem is if people are just playing to make the jury, they're going to play a little more conservatively, and that kind of can have a negative impact on the game.
Okay, so does, yeah, I guess you just are trying to qualify for the third game.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess, though, it's interesting. Like, then whoever wins, I mean, there'd still be $1 million winner, right? Because it has to be our season of Survivor.
Okay, so what do you say, yes or no to Survivor the tournament?
I mean, I like it. I like it as much as Cheeseburger.
Yeah, I like Cheeseburger more. I think that, you know, now we're getting into three seasons in a row of all returning players.
And then, like, the third is, like, returning. Yeah, I mean, you'd get a little bit weary.
Yeah, I'm going to say no on this one.
Okay, I'm with you, Rob. Okay. I got your back.
We
got
to be a little discerning here.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's Jordan. Jordan says, okay, returning players, men versus women, forces returning players to use strategies not used the first time. No returnees from men versus women season.
Wait, say it again? What's interesting about this? What's the twist?
It's returning players, and instead of heroes versus villains, it's men versus women. Nobody from a men versus women season gets to play again.
So the twist is that it's a returning player season, but it's men versus women.
Yes.
It doesn't feel very twisty to me.
Doesn't feel very twisty. No Kim Spradlin. No,
Troyzan.
No Troyzan.
No Rob Cesternino. That's the real loss here. No, yeah. Rob Cesternino. I can't.
No Matthew
Bonnerfelder. Includes Rob Cesternino.
Okay. Sorry. No.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Smiling. This is from Rachel. Rachel.
Okay. Smiling Rachel.
Smiling Rachel. She says, here's my idea. We could have a mentor season with a new player paired with an old player. With eliminations, you would work it like the models on Project Runway, where people can steal somebody else's mentor, and the mentor not picked goes home. The final mentor shares the prize or gets a smaller prize. It would take a big cast. That's the downside. So we talked about the idea of a coach's season. Coincidentally, we talked about this in 2012, right before they did a coach's season of Big Brother. And I think that there might have been rumors of a coach's season at the time, and maybe that it was sort of in the zeitgeist. But
the coach's season was the Ian season?
Yes.
So they entered the game as players?
Yeah, yes, that Ian was one of the new players, and there were four Big Brother alumni who went into the house. And
but they started as coaches, and then they ultimately became players in a twist that shocked nobody.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, what do you think about... Okay, so I guess it's 10 new players, 10 returning players. Each returning player has a mentee.
I like it.
You like it?
You know what? I like pairs. I think pairs are a fun way of playing the game. I think there's, you know... Pairs have been really successful for the challenge, where people are kind of shackled with people they either really like or they really hate in all kinds of different ways. I really, really dig this. I would love Survivor to find some mechanic to work in pairs, because I think it could really invigorate the franchise. You know, it becomes a little bit, does it become cornier? Does it become, you know, too twisty? Does it become too reliant on older players or former players? There are the dangers, but, you know, let's try it. Let's throw this against the wall.
The mentor-mentee thing. So are we fine? You're going back, okay? You're a mentor. Is your mentee somebody who, they say their favorite player is Stephen Fishback? They're like a younger version of you?
Right.
They're like a 22-year-old version of you?
Oh, my God. I want to destroy that person unless they compete against me.
Right? That's your mentee.
Just eat my child.
Yes.
I like that. I think that would be fun. Or they get your mentee is someone who's completely unlike you. So, you know, you'd get like a meathead, and you'd have to like really tutor them how to like be good in strategy. Whereas, you know, the brain would get some great athlete who would be like, well, here's some strategies for, you know, or they just get so annoyed. You know, I think there's a lot you can do with this.
You want to green light this?
I'm in.
Okay, Steven's in. I'm a little more lukewarm on it, but
what's your concern? Give me your concern.
I just feel like that it's going to ultimately be a fans versus favorites thing, and we're going to be left with all of the mentees gone in the first half of the game and all the returning players left in the second half, and I feel like it's going to be like Karamoan part two.
Right. If they're competing against each other, that's true. But what if it's like 5-5? Oh, that's the same problem. Yeah.
I think the returning players are going to band together. I think you need to have some sort of mechanic where if you get voted out, your mentee gets voted out too. But then once the game starts individual, the returning players are going to band together. So that's my concern with this.
What if you can only win money if your mentee wins? Like, you get no money if you win.
Then why am I in the game?
Or I don't know, or you have to win as a pair. Like, that's how the challenge is, right? People literally compete as pairs.
I'm not sure about this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say no, but I think it's close.
All right. I'm always with you.
All right. Sorry to the mentor twist.
Smiling Rachel.
Sorry. She's not smiling now. But it's almost there. We need to figure out a couple of kinks. Matt Horner says, I think Survivor should have an amazing race style non-elimination leg. Tribal would happen like normal, and any idol used would go away like a normal tribal council. But the eliminated player would go on and still be in the game since it was a non-elimination tribal council. What do you think, Steven? They put, and Matt says they could do 1 to 3 of these randomly placed during the season.
Randomly placed, though, let's be honest, can be very, right, that there's a little bit too much like, oh, it's randomly placed to save Tony,
yes,
or Cochran, you know.
So it's almost like we're taking the worst thing about the Amazing Race and let's bring it into Survivor.
Yeah.
I hate the non-elimination leg on the Amazing Race.
I don't like it either. All right. Let's keep it going.
All right, keep it going. Matt Wojcicki says Survivor should introduce a prisoner's dilemma into the game. Here's how it would work. In one of the pre-merge episodes, the tribes receive a tree mail to nominate one person to go on a secret journey. These two people get to meet and mingle if they're single and ready to mingle. And by the way, Big Jeff and Jordan no longer single and ready to mingle. They face a decision, 2 immunity idols up for grabs, and then 2 people have to lock in a decision to either share or to steal. If they both choose to share, they each get an idol. If one chooses share and the other chooses steal, the stealer gets both idols. If they both choose to steal, neither gets the idol.
So this is just sort of a one-off, right? And when does this happen? When does each tribe choose its mascot?
In one of the pre-merge episodes. So maybe they think they're going to talk about the merge or something like they used to do in some of the earlier seasons. This could either create new friends or new enemies in one fell swoop.
And it gives the opportunity for a lot of idols to enter the game for animosity. There's something to it.
I like it. I don't think it's a big, not a game changer. I like it. I like these little tweaks.
Yeah. Just like it adds a little drama that could have some ramifications down the line.
Let's put it through.
Let's go.
You're going to Samoa. Okay. Joshua Wilkinson. He has a suggestion called double tribal castoffs. Says my favorite twist was the mutiny. Few take the offer though, because the other tribe will just vote them off. While my least favorite twist was the double tribal council, where you could win the challenge and still go home. So why not combine the two and fix both? Midway through the game, do a double tribal council where both tribes go to tribal council. However,
and they switch. They vote someone into the other tribe.
Yes, once both tribes vote somebody off, reveal the twist. They have not been voted off. They just stay on the island and swap their teams. Both people would have a forced mutiny. This gives both tribes the incentive to keep the cast off who pissed off the other person from the tribe. Steven, what do you think of this?
What is the incentive to keep the cast off?
Because the other tribe hates them.
I mean, the reason that person would always get voted out right away is because it's hard to vote out someone from your own group, right? There's always like, we have bonds, we have alliances, unless there's a lot of animosity. Most tribes are pretty, right? You see the drama and you see the problems because that's the narrative, but most tribes are pretty right tight with each other. They're living together, they're building shelter together. Having someone from the other team come over is just an easy vote because they're not your group, because they're someone else. Their loyalties are divided. I don't think that this would change that.
Here's where I would like this idea. I think, let's say we have a season where we have like 2 people like get medevaced early in the game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, boy, we're running out of episodes here.
Right.
And it's like, so we don't want to have an episode where nobody gets voted out. So let's do an episode where we have two tribal councils, and instead of like kicking somebody off this week, let's send, you know, two people to the other tribe and see what happens.
I like that. It's like something you guys, producers, can keep in their back pocket as something, you know, situational.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
The Mike Barassi twist.
The Mike Barassi season. All right, Survivor Mike Barassi, you're going to Samoa.
Yeah.
You always talk about Mike Barassi.
I love Mike Barassi humor. Mike Barassi is also like a really, really nice guy.
Did you write the joke from the roast of the Mikey, Mikey B is here tonight? Oh my God, I can't believe it. Mike Barassi.
not necessarily the highlight of the roast.
It was for me.
I was delighted that it made it. I did write that.
All right. Jason Weatherholt says, how about Survivor champions versus challengers? Says the idea needs new branding, but basically it's winners versus players who didn't make the merge. I like this one. I would call it winners versus beginners. Okay. So there's probably not 20 winners we want to see again, but there's probably 10. Yeah. And there are literally dozens of players who just didn't get off to a good start and made an unfortunate blunder and should get another shot because they're fully capable of making a great TV. Steven, what do you think about this? A winners versus beginners season.
For some reason, Jeff has this sort of like this idea that pre-merge players are uninteresting. I feel like there are so many really good pre-merge players. And like, yes, you don't have that immediate connection to them like you do with, you know, we all know Parvati, we all know Russell, we all know Boston Rob, we all know Tony, we all know Malcolm, right? But I do feel like there is this wealth of like the Brian Cordens out there, you know, who were great players, who were gone well before their time, who know the game, who care about the game, who have like some fan hook, you know, because like real fans know them, but like who are still like, it's new to you. He's new to you. I really like the idea of bringing back pre-merge players. Doing them against winners, like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, the winner's a thing, like, you know, there's a thousand iterations of Survivor that are winners, all winner season, winners versus someone, you know, one winner on every third contestant. I really like the idea of bringing back pre-merge people in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not over the moon that we need to do this of people, like, and you know, I think that Jeff gets on a high horse about, well, we don't need to bring back, you know, some of these people that didn't make the merge. But then they have people like Monica and Colton that they bring back and people like that. So they pick their spots when they want to do it. I'm not sure if we have 10 of those people that we necessarily need to see. And I'm not sure necessarily why we would tie them to winners, where it was like, all right, here's the best of the best players. And here are the people who stumbled, you know, before they really got out of the starting gate. Let's see what will happen if we match these guys up together. Seems like a mismatch.
Although, you know, the idea is that it's the same kind of idea as the winners versus runners up, right? Where the runners up tribe and the pre-merge tribe, they have something to prove is the idea, right?
Yeah, I think you're also going to get to the point where it's the merge where it's like, hey, we're all super bitter people that we should have been good and we weren't. And we have animosity towards the people that are winners and got all the airtime. It's our time to shine.
That's great.
No, that's called Survivor All-Stars.
I don't know, but then you have a tribe of winners together, and they're like, oh, we're all winners, and, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the winners smoke those guys.
Yeah, I'd like to see and also the other thing is, like, they're tried and true quantity, right? Like, we cast these, you know, they cast these new players, or they hope will pop. You know, no one really knows how someone is going to do, you know, until they actually get out on the island. You know, you have the Chets of the world who I guess are great in casting and then just completely fall apart on the island. You know, why not cast a Corridan who you know is going to go bring the money?
Who are the winners that are coming back for this one?
Tony.
Besides Sandra and Tony, who else?
Cochran.
No, Cochran's not coming back for this.
Because he's done. He can't now because he works for CBS.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Parvati? I don't know.
I think you're going to have a hard time finding, you know, 10 winners that want to come back and play against a bunch of people with a chip on their shoulder.
Are you crazy? Every single contestant wants to come back at any given time.
All right. Let's come up with the 10 people. All right. So Sandra, Tony, Aris.
Tyson.
Tyson, I guess Tyson's like a, you know, what else do I have to do, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Parvati?
She's not good. I don't think she's coming back for this.
Come on. chance at $1 million. Who, they all want to play Survivor again. You know, immediately afterwards, and like probably, you know, in interviews, people say, I don't want to play Survivor again. You know, I'm over it. Because they're like trying to make themselves feel good. But, you know, they do.
All right. Can you give me four more women that are coming back for this?
Kim Spradlin, definitely coming back.
She's coming back for this?
Oh, for sure. What do you mean she's coming back for this? She would love to play Survivor again.
I don't know. I'm not digging the winners versus beginners.
Sophie?
She come back for this? I guess so.
I don't know. I mean, she's this guy, actually. Sophie's one who I actually could see turning it down. But, you know, I think once you get the call.
Juices going?
Yeah, it does, right?
All right. So what do you say? You want to put through winners versus beginners?
I like it.
All right. For Steven, this one's going through.
Yes.
But then I hope they don't put Brian Corydon on just so you get mad. this was rude. Made for Brian Corydon.
Get Francesca on there again.
Yeah. All right. Ken Crowner. Well, if you could bring Francesca back again, I'm in. You convinced me. All right. Ken Crowner says 40 returning players, 4 tribes, 2 sets of pre-merge Survivor play, neither set knowing about the other set. Merge to 2 tribes of 10, and guess what, Steven? The game starts all over again.
What? What do you mean it starts all over again?
Okay, so there's 2 game. Basically, there's 2 games going on at once.
Okay, and one is being broadcast on NBC.
No. Oh. So basically, there's 4 tribes of 10, and these 2 tribes just keep competing against each other, and then we get down to 10 people.
Oh, and they don't even know.
And then tribes three and four are competing against each other, and they get down to 10, and they think they're going to the merge, and actually they're going to start a whole new game of 20 people.
You could do the same thing with 80 people and just have 8.
Yeah, and, or 160.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, Steven, what do you think of Ken's idea?
I mean, it would be great if it was like it would just go on forever. I don't know. I might get fatigued. I don't think I could write a blog every week. 2 blogs a week? Come on.
what if could we do this potentially? Would it be more manageable? What if we had 4 tribes of 8? Okay. It's like we said, like, oh, hey, we're going back to the classic 16 people. But really, it was, 4 tribes of 8. Maybe we have 32 people instead. And maybe we have a couple, like maybe we have 3 weeks where we vote somebody off from all the tribes.
It could be good. I mean, it could be fun. You know, it's not a reasonable, you know, we were saying filmable things. This is not a filmable thing.
Okay.
But, I like it. I like it as an idea.
They've done this on like international versions of Big Brother, I think.
That's because they got nothing else to put on air. You know, CBS has a full schedule.
All right. Yeah. Maybe if CSI New Orleans, that doesn't work out.
Yeah. Is that a show?
No, I think it's NCIS New Orleans.
That sounds great.
Okay. Nathan Bayless. Mafia Survivor, Steven. They could have a season of Survivor where they introduce elements from the role-playing game Mafia into Survivor. They could have, say,
role-playing game. I mean, you know.
They could have, say, 4 players who are in the Mafia secretly working together. And if they all get the Mafia to the finals, they get bonus prize money. If the Mafia get taken out, all the other players get a bonus prize. There could also be a doctor who, before the votes can read, can anonymously save someone from the vote off, but only if one of the Mafia voted for them. Okay, so Tribal Council, Jeff says, all right, everybody's heads down. All right, people who are in the Mafia, like, okay, but who you want to vote off? Like, all right, heads down. All right, doctor, who do you want to give immunity to?
Doctor always saves himself.
Yes,
right?
All right, heads down.
Yeah.
Steven, have you played the game Mafia?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's why I know a doctor always saves himself.
Yeah, I played it a couple months ago. I've played it before, but I played it a couple months ago. I went to a game night at Otis's house.
Mm.
And it was, there was a bunch
of... Oh, was Tyson there? I think I actually...
Tyson wasn't there that night, but I went one night and it was like, it was me, Aris, Vetus, Parvati was there, Julie Berry... Nat 10 was there.
And those are all the people who say, oh, I don't hang out with the Survivor community. Look at you people.
And Steven, it was the most intense thing. It was absolutely no fun to play Mafia with the Survivor people. And it's like, you know, I was in the Mafia And I have the thing. It was like me. I was in the Mafia. Parvati was in the Mafia. And I think there. I forget who else was the third. Oh, Natalie Tenorelli, I think, was the third person in the Mafia. And it was like, you know, just like point blank to your face. Like, are you in the Mafia? And then it's like, you flinched. You're definitely in the Mafia. It was like really like super intense. It, like, it was not a friendly game at all. I do not suggest like playing Mafia with anybody who has ever been on reality TV, because it's. It just gets and it's like the only fun part was that John Fincher got murdered and he wasn't in the Mafia, and he was like I swear to God I'm not in the Mafia. So do you like this for Survivor, that there are four people that we don't have to call them the Mafia, but we'll call them that they're the secret group of people that they're trying to get to the end together?
Do they have special powers being in the Mafia? Or are there just like some, is this just a win condition, or is there anything else that they get from being in the Mafia?
No, they get money if they get to the end, according to this. Now you can tweak it if
don't
you
like
want.
It. Don't like it. It makes a solid alliance. It, you know, the fun of Survivor is alliances are made, alliances are broken.
Yeah.
This is creating an alliance that basically they have no reason to break. I don't like it.
You know, we call this Think Tank. It's actually more like Shark Tank. It's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out on this one.
Yeah,
I'm out. Okay, sorry. So, but neither of us are out.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of them where you would have made an offer and I wouldn't have. I would have said, I'm out.
I'm a generous human. I have a big heart.
Yes. And so I'm like Mr. Personality.
Yeah. You're like a cynical, bitter, you know, shriveled wreck of a man.
All right. George Harrington says, hey, Rob and Steven, in response to your question, can the Medallion of Power be fixed from Epic Twistery? What if every player is given the Medallion of Power? Then the Medallion of Power can be used at any challenge, but only once, and they will expire at the final five. So the dilemma comes from, when should you use your Medallion of Power?
I was out when I heard Medallion of Power.
I'm out. I'm out on Medallion of Power.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Sorry there, George. Okay. All right, let's go to Tim. And Tim says, okay, tribe ambassadors, he says. Both tribes select one ambassador who switches tribes until the next challenge. They are full participants of tribal councils, including the vote, but they enjoy diplomatic immunity, which means they cannot be voted out.
Oh, that's fun.
Hidden individual immunity challenge instead of... that's a separate thing. Okay. So
but you wouldn't want them to compete in the immunity challenge.
Okay.
Right?
So
they would always sabotage the tribe. I mean, that's basically like the saboteur, except there'd be no reason for them to conceal how hard they were driving to sabotage things.
All right. Well, let's talk this through first. Now, in Survivor Pearl Islands, they did this where the Morgan tribe got to kidnap Rupert. What did they do in Samoa where Shambo was always ending up on Russell's tribe?
What? Oh, there was a thing, right? Where, there was a thing with like Laura Moret. Well, didn't she go over? There was one thing and like Yasmin went over to the other tribe.
Yeah, there was like one thing and where you got to go to the other tribe for some reason. Yeah, I don't remember
what
that was.
I think it was like Laura. No, because were Laura and Yasmin on the same tribe? They were. I don't remember.
Something different than this. Okay.
There was some like kidnapping a member or something for like an afternoon.
All right.
And
so
the idol was, they had the clue to the other tribe's idol or something. I don't know.
Okay.
And that's yes. And that's why Russell allegedly knew how to look for the idol without the clue, was that he saw like Yasmin looking for it on his beach. Interesting.
So tribe ambassador with diplomatic immunity, somebody who goes and switches tribes. So I guess maybe after the reward challenge, the winning tribe gets to send somebody over to the other tribe. Or I guess it would be after the immunity challenge. Somebody gets to go and be a part of the other tribe and vote, and they can't get voted off. You like it?
I like it. You know, I think it's a fun one. And I think that, yeah, I feel like it's Think Tank too. We've really got better ideas than Think Tank. You know why? No Troyzan.
No Troyzan. Yes. Yeah. Also, these are the patrons. These are the people who are interested in buying the 49 Laws of Survivor. So we're talking to the base here.
Yeah. I think this is, we've really, you know, this Think Tank too is really the best of the best.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
You're going to Samoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to, Mark Percy says, what I think would be cool for Blood versus Water might be a three-tribe season with 18 people. That way, see? You could make it where the two tribes of the reward challenge compete against each other in the immunity challenge. And the okay, so this doesn't have to necessarily be for a blood versus water season. But what do you think of the dynamic that Mark suggests of three tribes? Okay, the team that wins the immunity, the reward challenge, also gets immunity in the immunity challenge. So three tribes, if they say Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, Brawn tribe wins reward. The immunity challenge is only between Beauty and Brains.
Why is that better?
Do you like that better? Would we rather see a competition between three tribes, or do we like seeing a competition between two tribes?
I like the three tribes, you know, someone falls behind, someone just, you know, there's more opportunities for like come from behind wins, for last minute redemption.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of like you get to come in second and not get have to go to tribal council. I don't
love
that.
Now you get one tribe that's just not even competing at all.
Yeah. They get to go and watch though.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't like it.
I like more action. I want more action.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue on that. More action is good. Yeah. All right. David Goebel wants to say, okay, this only occurs pre-merge. The tribe that wins immunity elects one person to go to the losing tribe's camp for the rest of the day and the tribal council. Actually, no, this is very similar to what we talked about. So that's bad on me for not filtering out two ideas.
Come on.
Okay, but that already went through. So
the whole thing is falling apart.
Good job, Dave.
You know, I was just saying how great Think Tank 2 is, and now I feel like it's a disaster.
All right. Shimmy says the Survivor auction needs to get fixed. Steven, do you agree or disagree?
I'm willing to hear him out.
Okay. I think it was much more fun before clues/advantages were being sold. This was really evident in Cagayan, where you had to randomly give the note to one of the people with the maximum bid. I think the only fun way to include an advantage/clue in the auction is to make it a mystery item. You could get the cow's brain or the clue to the hidden immunity idol.
It is. I do agree that there's like the sort of, you know, the advantage kind of came as sort of like, wow, an interesting twist. And now it's so expected that it has sort of, you know, but also there's something like pretty cool about just the self-discipline that, you know, is required for people to just not spend any of their money on food and then still not even have, you know, the chance of winning. You know, you had Tasha who was holding on to everything last season and didn't even get anything out of it. Even the chance to draw a rock. But the idea of having it be a mystery item. So, I mean, will that be announced at the beginning is the idea? Like, we know that there will be an advantage, but it will be definitely a mystery item. That's fun. I think that's a fun way of doing it.
No, I think you wouldn't say beforehand, because then when it's like, okay, mystery item, this could be
interesting.
Unless you said mystery item, this could be the clue to the hidden immunity idol, or it could be a cow's brain. What do you say?
I like that. I like that idea. It puts a little bit more drama in the bidding. You know, you really got to be a little, it almost takes strategy out of it, but in a way that you know, it makes it harder.
Yeah. I think, maybe we could say up front, like, I don't know. It's almost like you got to see it, them do it once and not say it. And then all future Survivor auctions, people will bid on the mystery item.
Right.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think that's actually a really good good fix.
Okay.
Nicely fixed.
All right. So good job, Shimi. Okay. All right. So now Shimi is going to double down here. Okay. We got one more from Shimi.
Okay.
A better way to do a Russell versus Rob season.
Yeah.
Don't bring back Russell and Rob.
Or Rob.
Okay. Well, we're on board so far. Okay. Have two tribes of 10 people that are really diehard fans of Boston Rob and Russell. People that can name every move they've ever made and passionately explain why it was so brilliant. Does not strictly have to include Russell and Rob. You could have fans of X versus fans of Y. So what do you think? 10 people who worship at the altar of Boston Rob, 10 people
right.
who worship at the altar of Russell Hance.
I mean, the Russell and Rob thing, it's like those are kind of similar players, right? Like,
yes.
I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of ways that they're very, very different. So please don't castigate me for that equivalence. But they got similar styles. What would be like a real dichotomy here?
Fans of Rupert versus fans of Stephen Fishback.
Right. Those would be different people. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of hot chicks would be Stephen Fishback fans. And, you know, Rupert. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So do you like the fans of a certain player versus the fans of a certain player?
It's an interesting idea in theory that, you know, you're going to like have like people who have these different play styles. What do you think here, Rob? Give me some help.
I think that probably knowing Survivor casting, the fans of quote unquote Russell Hance will not actually be fans of Russell Hance.
They will have heard of Russell Hance before the season starts.
All right. So we're going to say no on that one. So you're one out of two. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
All right. We're going to go back to Mark Percy because that Mark has balked in the chat room and on Twitter. It says, I left off the part about blood versus water with the three tribes and 18 people. So we talked about one of the tribes that wins the reward challenge. They sit out the immunity challenge. Okay. But the added twist, he says, for the blood versus water season is that the tribe that goes to tribal, that wins the reward challenge, would also get to go to the immunity challenge. And those on the tribe that sits out could substitute themselves in the challenge for their loved ones.
See, possibly, you know, you did leave out the key part of that. Right, idea.
Possibly helping their loved ones, win immunity.
That's interesting. So you could sub out. That's interesting. I like the sub out. I really do like the sub out. Well, then would you be stuck on that other tribe or would you just be subbing out for the challenge?
I think just for that immunity challenge.
I'm into it. I like it. And I like it because, you know, we got an active chat room participant who, you know, I don't want to disagree with.
All right. So you're caving.
No, I like it. I do like it.
Okay. Going back to the fans of Rob versus fans of Russell idea, Mike Bloom in the chat room says, weren't people who loved Rob on Rob's tribe anyway? There you go.
That's true.
Good job by Mike Bloom.
Yeah. Okay. Sing.
All right. This is from Ryan Quinn. He says, hey, fellas, what if there was two tribes and a third island where two members of each tribe have to live from the end of the reward challenge to the immunity challenge? Randomly select them somehow or let the tribes pick who goes, or let the winning tribe decide. Might be a good way to have pre-merge discussions and start building better bonds for merge time. Is this like the Exile Island Alliance?
Wait, say this one again, because I wasn't listening.
Okay, there's two tribes.
Yeah.
There's a third island. It sounds like Exile Island to me. Okay. And two members of each tribe have to live there during part of the game. So it's almost like we're making a de facto third tribe of randomly selected people during each episode cycle.
Right. Wait, how many? There's only two people on Exile.
Okay.
How's it a third tribe?
So this would be a third Exile Island. Two members from each tribe go to Exile Island during each episode. So there's four people. Yes. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Why not? What are they doing?
Now you're just green lighting everything.
Yeah. Okay. So what are they doing though? Like, are they just, they're
hanging out. It's like Exile Island,
but bigger, but more,
but there's more of an opportunity to commingle.
Right. Right. Because there's more people doing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't be bad. It would be good. Is that the thing that you throw out, though, when you have Survivor Cheeseburger or Survivor John Smith in the wings? You know, do you go with this? What do you think of this?
I just feel like it's not too different than your season.
Yeah, it's like what Exile Island
is. It's like Exile Island, but with more people.
Slightly more.
Yeah.
And almost, you know, one of the good things about Exile Island is it removes someone from the tribe. And that's bad, right, for that person.
Yeah.
And like, you want to put people in compromised situations. If it's more people, I mean, it's not as bad.
All right, real quick, Steven, I'd love to get your thoughts on the twist for this upcoming season that they're going to do. So Exile
Can you
Island,
walk me through this? So I'm delighted Exile Island is back. You know, I lived on Exile Island for a while. I had a really meaningful experience there.
Okay, well, let me talk you through what they're doing this season. So Redemption Island. So instead of the Redemption Island duel, there's going to be a loved ones duel where you duel with your loved one. And apparently CBS and Survivor loved when Otis fought Vetus in that one challenge.
I love that too.
They loved it.
And then Vetus like faked him out. Ugh.
And they're like, How do we get this to happen? They should have been there for Mafia when Otis and Vetus were both trying to figure out who was in the Mafia also.
Poor Fincher.
He paid the price.
He did.
And so then so you're going to go up against your loved one in a duel. Okay, in front of everybody.
But how do they choose who goes in the duel?
I'm not sure how they choose the first one, and that's unclear. And I'm not sure if the winner gets to choose who goes into the next one. So it's a loved one versus loved one duel. The loser goes to Exile Island. The winner gets reward for their team. So instead of a reward challenge, you're going to like, okay, so it's, you know, so it's you and JT are in the loved ones challenge, okay? The loser goes to Exile Island, but you also get to pick somebody from your tribe to then go to Exile Island with your loved one.
I like it. You know, the problem with those family member duels in the last in season 27 was that they kind of were like a little bit. Some of them were sort of like silly, you know, like when like Tina and Katie were dueling or Laura and Sierra. And it was a little bit like too. So the gloves were off or on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like when you're doing it for your tribe in that way, you know, there's a little bit more more pressure. So I'm digging it. I really like that.
Yeah. It could be the ultimate betrayal if somebody like let's say you have like a Brad Culpepper and Monica Culpepper and, you know, Monica like Brad wins reward for his tribe, sends Monica to Exile Island and then sends like, you know, Vetus to go from his tribe to go to Exile Island. And then that the wife is spurned and then tries to get back at the husband at Exile Island. There should be like a bed there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll teach my husband to send me Someone to Exile gives Island.
Them a, if you get the Moretz, there could be massages.
Oh, no. So you like this. You say you're sending it to Samoa, this idea?
Is there an immunity idol on Exile Island?
There is a clue to the idol, but the idol is back at camp.
I like it. I'm into it. Good way to go. Way to go. Last minute idea by Jeff Probst.
So you're sending it to Samoa?
Yeah.
All right. Actually, send this one to Nicaragua. Don't get it messed up. Make sure you label it Nicaragua when you send it out. All right. Last couple, Stephen. Let's.
All right.
Let me go through the best of the best here.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Extra large pelican. Okay. Says. Finally.
Yeah, so like no, like Austin would freak out.
Austin is freaking out by this idea.
Yeah.
In a non-Blood versus Water season, how about we stage a Night Zero the same way we did in Blood versus Water? Each member from one tribe is matched up with a member from the opposing tribe, and they spend one night strategizing alone before being separated into their teams as the game begins. Partnerships are drawn randomly. This might set pieces into place for a more active post-merge.
I like it. I do like it. It's a little, I feel like it can be confusing then at the post merge. Then there's a lot, I don't know. It adds a lot, almost like too much.
I feel like I want to get going. You know, maybe if you're going to take these things and put them up on CBS.com, all the Night Zero stuff.
Even
but
Night
I
Zero,
get
I
into
found
it.
Kind of stupid. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I didn't need to see Night Zero.
Yeah, we don't need more Night Zero.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
that was not the best of the best. That was a good idea, you know, like, but not the best.
Okay.
Of the best.
Well, how about this? We'll go with the shortest of the best.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from, how about from John Snowden, who says, I have a small tweak of an idea that is for a returning / new player mixed up season. I really dislike a tribe of returning contestants versus a tribe of new contestants because I believe the people who have experience with the show have an immediate advantage in terms of immunities and rewards. My idea is that I think it could work well if there were a producer divided into two hybrid tribes, four new and four returning versus four new and four returning. Okay, or it could be five and five. However, you
I don't agree. I think that you're going to see the exact same thing happen. And actually it's going to be even worse because, you know, the newbies are just going to get picked off individually and then they're going to get picked off at the merge. You know, it's going to be a faster attrition of newbies.
Okay. So you say, you know, nothing, John Snowden.
Wow. Yeah. You have to agree with me about that. You have to.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it'll play out well for the fans versus favorites. I don't think we should do any more fans versus favorites.
I hate that. I hate new players mixed with returning players because it's just a massacre. No matter how you mix it.
Okay.
This is, by the way, that dynamic would be my ideal dynamic to be in if I were cast on a fans versus favorite season, just because of the complete domination that the returning players would have.
Yes, I agree. Okay, let's do a couple more. Let's see. Let's take one from the live chatter people. Grant Plater says a pseudo outcast twist, 16 person season. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows from the outset that the first six pre-jurors will vote for two people to become the first two jurors. Hmm. I feel like this would make everyone a lot more cautious in how reckless they approach the game. All right. So it's similar to the outcast twist that
you just need to worry that someone that you're voting off pre-merge is going to be in the jury voting for you.
Yeah. What do you think?
That's like the big change. Yeah, sure. No, seriously. Like, I think that's not bad. I think that like more concern. Will it change the game? No, right? You're still voting off the same people. I don't think it's going to change who gets voted off.
Yeah. I think we're just, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic a little bit, I don't think it's a major...
Let's be honest, where your deck chair is on the Titanic, incredibly important. Like, what an important decision that is, like where the deck chair is, right? You got to be close to the lifeboats.
Yeah, that is big. Okay. Megan Z, the great Megan Z, says, we've all seen the bottle twist where a second tribal council commences without any discussion being allowed. What if the bottle twist was instead
the bottle twist?
A bottle hidden at camp where the person who found it received the right to call or go immediately to tribal council without any more discussion. If there was already a pagonging, it'd be a way to speed up the process because we would get a double boot episode. While the argument against it might prevent scrambling, if the person on the bottom found it to be a way to immediately call tribal council after they felt like they have garnered votes on their side, such as during a reward challenge. Okay, Steven, now you can tear it apart.
Now I will. I think that you're ultimately going, right? It's unlikely. It doesn't really serve the person on the bottom, right? Like the idea that they've scrambled enough and have really changed the opinion and now they can call it. What it probably more realistically does is stop scrambling. It doesn't give someone the opportunity to change the vote up. Am I being too harsh?
No, I think it would not help the show.
Yeah.
I think it would hurt the show.
I might be a little, I haven't had a lot to eat in today. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe I'd be sending more things through to Samoa if I had. Yeah.
Yeah. You were on a roll sending things through for a while.
I was, but you came down on me.
We can't let everything get through. We have to have a filter.
Samoa's going to be crowded.
Yeah. We're the human Brita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Edward Giordano says, three tribes, one member from each of the winning immunity tribes, chosen at random, joins the losing tribe at tribal council and votes with them. They would need about a day to work out the social dynamics of the tribe that they were adopted into. So, all right. So three tribes. All right. Okay. So let's say Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn. One member from each of the winning immunity tribes. So Brains is going to tribal council. Here comes somebody from Brawn, somebody from Beauty, and they're going to vote. Let's give them the diplomatic immunity as well. What do you think of that?
Yeah, there is that. This is similar to the diplomatic immunity idea.
With three tribes.
Right. It's basically the same thing with three tribes. I don't think that lessens it. I liked the idea then. I like it now. I like diplomatic immunity idea. No matter how many tribes there are, I think it's a little bit more fun when it's one person, because then it's like they can like kind of mix. It's more, the narrative is a little clearer. But I like it.
All right, here's something from Anna that she wants to take away. Hello from Russia, Rob. I love Survivor and your show.
I'm here. I'm here too.
And Steven.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Are you popular in Russia? Is that your base?
You know what? It's Estonia.
Okay. So yeah. Steven has his support in Russia as well.
I love me in Estonia.
Okay. However, it takes some courage to call yourself a hardcore fan of Survivor and not to see obvious things that have ruined the last two seasons of your favorite show.
Wow. I've loved the last two seasons. I've got some courage as well, I guess.
Well, Steven, didn't you really notice these stupid personal hashtags that were assigned to the final three contestants only? Yes. Mm-hmm. I know that it was an unpredictable edit, and it was never one of the strong points of the show. But even with the annoyingly transparent edit, we still could have had room to guess that the winner would have either been Spencer, Tony, or even Cass. But hashtags killed all the drama. Granted, these hashtags most likely the player that goes far at the very least. So they need to either stop doing them for specific players or do it more often. Honestly, I made my pick to win the game the very first episode, right after I saw hashtag Spy Shack to follow the path of hashtag Big Bad Wolf. And it appeared that I wasn't wrong. To make things worse, last season, we were treated to hashtag Chaos Cast and the incredible Stealth in Jaw, whatever, or the Stealth Ninja, whatever,
right.
Assigned to Invisible Player Woo for no other reason than to apparently reassure us that in Episode 8, he would take one
Ninja
of the final
Ninja Stealth spots. Mode, I think, right? Ninja Stealth mode.
All right. Steven, are the hashtags ruining Survivor?
So here's like, I mean, let's just like take a step back, right? The narrative moments that make the show are going to inherently be more around the people in the finals, right? Like the story of those people is going to be more visible than the story of other people. And even for someone like Wu, who didn't have a lot of moments, they still had to give him some moments throughout the season that kind of like made you aware of him and punctuated who he was. So as part of that, you know, because those people are getting more moments in the show, they're going to have like more hashtagable moments, right? Like they're going to have more emotional moments. Yeah. They're going to have more dramatic moments. You know, there's definitely something where, you know, if you watch the edit, you can kind of guess who's going to do well, or you can guess who's going to at least go far. Obviously I completely did not do that last season. But
I disagree with Anna. I think that there have been hashtags used in the last two seasons. I distinctly remember hashtag stood up, which was when LJ and Tasha wanted to have a meeting with LJ.
Right.
He didn't go. I think that had they didn't done hashtags on the screen during Survivor Karamoan, I think Philip would have gotten a lot of hashtags.
Yeah.
So I think necessarily that was more coincidence than the hashtags are only reserved for the people who are in the top three. I'm sure that there were probably other times that hashtags got used during the season that were not made up by Tony or Cass or Wu.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like not coincidence, because I think that, you know, those three are going to get more airtime because they're finalists, but I think that the hashtags probably, you know, were roughly apportioned, you know, according to airtime and moments. I don't think it's you know, totally clear.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a couple more and then we'll wrap this up. Okay. Keith F77777 says, I like this idea of everybody having an idol. It would create a lot of blindsides, and the few that made it out of the early rounds would have a nice advantage after the merge. It's a great idea. Yeah, it is like in the Hunger Games, where in the first couple minutes, everybody kills each other.
Yeah, it would be fun. But, you know, we talk about it.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't know.
Okay. It's fun, but too crazy for TV.
Yeah.
We're not ready for that.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. Maybe by Survivor 100, we'll be ready for that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Survivor, keep it 100.
Tom Polite says, this isn't really so much a twist as it is an idea for a production. Upload hours and hours of raw Survivor footage after each episode. People could pay for subscriptions similar to the live feeds. I would love it if they did this. Steven, should they upload hours and hours of footage?
I love the idea. You know, ultimately, it kind of kills the storytelling, unfortunately. I think it would be really fun if you could sort of do that. It would be so cool. You'd see some gross things.
Yeah, I think you'd see some gross things. Also, they did this at one point, like I think during Survivor the Amazon, there was like a special site on like Yahoo where you could pay to see like other secret scenes. I think this is ultimately these became the secret scenes, but they used to have it where you could pay to see additional scenes. But
yeah, the problem, I mean, is, you know, people, even on Big Brother, people are eating, they're drinking, right? Like, people on Survivor are starving. What people do on Survivor is like largely sitting around. You know, the things that make the show are the things that are interesting that are happening. You're going to see a lot of people just like staring listlessly into the sky. I don't know if it's necessarily like a lot of added value there.
Okay. All right. Kaylee Ashman says, I'm breaking her heart in the chat room. So let me give you hers real quick, Steven.
Yeah. Says, stop breaking hearts, man.
I don't want to break anybody's heart. And
come on.
Kaylee writes great recaps on robasawebsite.com. So
this is the think tank, not the heartbreakers.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
First time ever that I've broken a woman's heart also. players are initially separated into two tribes. They go back to their camps, which are smaller than usual.
Okay.
To force them to be closer to each other. And
the camps are already pretty small.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Tremail is waiting for them and says, get to know each other as well as you can before the immunity challenge. In other words, they spend the first day or two getting to know each other. Then the tribes show up at the immunity challenge, and Jeff asks questions about how well they've gotten to know each other.
I love this idea because, you know, the problem with the challenges as they exist is that they're full of action and they're physical early on. And you really see the survivors, you know, working hard to win and competition and energy and drama. And I think if we removed all of those things and just made it a Q&A session, could really add a lot to the show.
Yeah. So you're saying you want to send this to Samoa?
I was joking.
I got it. I know.
I know.
All right. So, but then, Steven, how about this? Then he then shocks them by telling them there's going to be a surprise tribe swap.
Oh, wow.
And at the first immunity challenge, the winning tribe gets a sit-down picnic to force them to talk to each other. And then...
picnic?
Yes.
So first we have like a Q&A session, then we have a picnic.
Okay. And then... Yeah. After
it sounds
the,
like a very pleasant, like a very pleasant afternoon.
So they get to share what they've learned about the past tribe members. Right. Then they pick one person from the losing tribe who will then have immunity at tribal council. And then this gives advantage to those with good social games from the start.
Mm.
What do you think? It sounds like you're out on this one.
What do you think, Rob? You know, you always put it on me.
I think it's probably a little question,
and I'm the one who has to just piss all over it.
I think we got to get into the game faster. I think we can't have all this sort of stuff before the tribal council. I mean, I do like the idea of some sort of a test of how well do you get to know each other, and then if you fail that, have there be consequences early on and reward the people that have good social games. But I think this might be too much for the first couple days of the game. We want to get into it. All right. Let's do one more here. And this is from, Mike Bloom, the great Survivor historian and podcast host, Mike Bloom. New idea for an all-star season casting. Adopt the BB All-Star strategy. America is presented with a group of 30 or so returning players. The 10 with the most votes get cast on the show, and producers pick the other 10. Okay.
I actually think that they tried to do this one season, a couple seasons ago, and they were like thinking about this. But I guess just because of the logistics of timing, they couldn't do it, where like some of the spots were going to be cast, and then the rest were going to be reserved for some kind of like fan vote. And I think maybe it just like the way that the logistics worked out, it was not possible. I mean, there's a little bit of like a lag, right? Like you would have to have the fan vote, and then like you'd see those people 6 months later.
Here's how you would have to do it.
Two seasons later.
Here's how you have to do it. You have to do it where, okay, so it's at the finale of Survivor 30. Okay.
Right.
We cast, 10 people that we know we want back. And then here's the pool of 30. Okay. And then in the days following Survivor 30, the second week in May, we're going to let people vote. And then we're going to say, okay, we've cast your votes. And then tune in the fall to see, who the winner later, later this summer we'll announce who got selected.
Yeah. No, I think it's a cool idea. And they're definitely toyed with this idea. I like it.
Yeah. But would the survivors with the most Twitter followers, the Jenna Marascas, the Billy Garcias of the world, wouldn't they have an unfair advantage, Steven? I mean, Billy Garcia is up over 40,000 Twitter followers at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to say how many of those people are Billy followers or how many of those are for second followers. Are they tuning in for Billy or because of the music?
Steven, I misspoke. At Real Billy Garcia has 84,000 Twitter followers.
Crazy.
He's closing in on Cochran.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a danger. That's definitely a danger. I think we've seen in the past that these fan votes have nothing to do. It's like, Malcolm will win.
I mean, Jenna Marasca, 169,000 Twitter followers.
It's crazy. People love her.
Yes.
They do. Yeah.
Yes.
She's a huge, so she probably has the biggest social media footprint of any survivor.
I think so. I think she, at this point, she has the most Twitter followers of any survivor. Even poor Ethan only has 33,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah. So, yeah. So and it's like many of those might be real.
Jenna has five times more than Ethan does. Yeah. Even Cochran, I don't even know if he has that many.
I think he's at like 150 or something.
Yeah. The Cochran, that he would have only 132,000. So Jenna, even more followers than Cochran, who said, follow me on national television.
Yeah. You know, that's the shoes on the cover of People, and that goes a long way.
Yes. Boston Rob, even only 125,000 followers.
Yeah. Jenna, I think we can agree, is the most popular
If her and Billy Garcia could ever work together, they have the biggest social media imprint. Parvati, host of the Survivor After Show, only 48,000 Twitter followers.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing.
I think, you know, I don't think it would go. I don't think it would be a Twitter. You know, the Twitter base never really affects fan favorite. I think you could. I think other, you know, Jenna might win in a landslide of, you know, bot votes from Russia. But
Malcolm, only 89,000 Twitter followers. So she has twice as many as Malcolm.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I like it, Mike. I like it. Send that through to Samoa.
Yeah, let's send it to Samoa, but we'll see. Do we want to put that in the hands of America?
The 30 are picked first, you know, or you do 10 and 5. I think, you know, you've got a filter, but you also have a good, and we might like diversify the pool a little bit too, you know?
Okay.
It probably wouldn't.
All right.
Yeah.
Steven, so you want to rehash some of the ideas we've put through?
Give me the best. Okay, let's do the hash.
All right,
the top three. The top three, Rob.
Top three. No, we put. No, here's what I'm going to do.
I got to eat some sandwich. Okay. I got to eat some sandwich.
It'll take me 2 minutes to say what we put through, and then you can. And then you have a veto here. This is your last chance. Okay.
All right.
Are you sure
I'm going to mute while you're talking. I'm going to mute my microphone and eat some.
Okay, Steven, I will tell you the idea while Steven is he is to desperately take a bite. This is how hard he works.
Very hungry. Yeah.
For his craft. Okay, here we go. We are putting through that the clue to the advantage at the Hidden Immunity Idol at the auction is going to be under a covered item. Just give me a thumbs up as long as if you feel good about this. Okay, so is that thumbs up, Steven?
I like it.
You like it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You could just give me the visual, and I'll.
I just needed a little bit. Okay. I just needed to slake the demon of hunger.
Oh my God! How are you on Survivor?
I mean, you know, I haven't eaten for 30 days. You know, this is my first sandwich.
All right. So we put through the ambassador switches tribes until the next challenge, and they have diplomatic immunity.
Love it. I love it.
We like that. Okay. We've also put through the winners versus beginners. I thought I said no on this one.
I liked it. I liked the Brian Corden. The Brian Corden.
Survivor Brian Corden. Okay, we put that through. All right. This is the double tribal cast off. This was if we had like early medevacs where we forced a mutiny of people who got voted out. That's from Joshua Wilkinson.
Yeah, like something as a producer's going to have in their back pocket. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Matt Wojcicki, his prisoner dilemma, that we like this, where somebody that has the opportunity to get.
This felt a little bit deck cherry. You know, it's like a random thing to do. It's fine.
Yes.
This was not my favorite. I liked it enough to send it through, but, you know.
Okay. Matthew Caracco, he had the Tyler Perry idol sun spear, where you need two parts of the idol to make it activate.
I love it. Yeah, especially for like a superpower. Yeah.
Okay. This is from Marlon A. This was the colleges idea. We ended up turning it into Survivor Rags versus Riches.
Love Rags versus Riches. Hated colleges.
Yes. Survivor the Mole, submitted by Jean Damien Buisson. We liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Saboteurs. We had to come up with a new name. So, you know.
Yes. Assassins. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Survivor Rivals, submitted by Jess. We always like
love
that.
Love Rivals. Always love Rivals.
Yes. Andrew Armani, he says he came back with the start with two tribes, then go to three tribes when we get to 15.
Meh, it's fine.
It's fine.
Fine.
Not a game changer, but it'll be fun.
They made it.
Kyle Faber says the idea of Survivor Hamburger.
I loved it.
Hamburger Tribal Council.
I think I'm just really hungry right now. That's why I love that idea so much.
Yeah. I remember on Survivor Token Sheens when you decided to eat instead of compete in the immunity challenge.
It was the right choice at the time. I stand by the decision.
If you had the choice to eat or do this podcast, what did you pick?
I chose the podcast.
Just the podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Kasten Kasten Swedenborg came up with the cursed necklace idea, which we really liked.
Love.
That will
love
put that in the top three.
Yeah, top three.
Canadian Dave had the immunity password.
I liked it. I didn't love it. It felt like too cute, but I liked it.
Okay. This is the No World and Three Tribes. We like that after the first the Survivor, No World, everybody shows up, no tribes, go to the first immunity challenge, then there's tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that.
Sure. Sure. Let's do it. Okay. Why not? Let's roll.
All right. Undercover All Stars.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it as much, I think.
I don't think it's a huge deal, but we like it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have my Garden of Eden idol, where we get to camp and there is an idol hanging up from a tree. Mm. Whoever takes it has it.
I like it.
The unhidden immunity idol.
I think that's fun. I think it's fun. It puts a lot of pressure on the players.
Yes. And then finally,
yeah, why hide it anymore? You know, like
just
what
put it out in plain
advantage?
Sight. I think it's like, yeah. Who took the idol? Who right. took the idol?
The idol was right here. Played, you know, the clues now are like meaningless, right? It's like it's in a tree. Why hide it? I guess why hide it?
Yes. Okay. And last one, Colin Stone's The Idol, Idol About Nothing.
The Idol About Nothing, the Seinfeld idol.
Yes. The Siler Perry idol.
I like it. Evil. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Steven, thank you so much. Fantastic. We have to work out when we're going to do Survivor Know-It-Alls after the
episodes.
No, Steven, it's a Big Brother finale also.
Oh.
You put your head in the sand. You pretend like Big Brother doesn't exist all summer, but it's a big deal.
It's a one-off, you know.
It's a 16-off. It's Big Brother 16. It's catching up. So Big Brother is going to, we have the Survivor 90-minute premiere all on September 24th, and then the Big Brother 90-minute finale. So I'm going to do the Big Brother finale right after.
That's good.
Right after Big Brother. And so we need to figure out when we're going to do Survivor Know-It-Alls. Last year we did it in the following morning, but we'll come up with when we will get to it. Hmm. We'll talk offline and talk about schedule with that. But that is coming in. And Steven, it's right around the corner, 2.5 weeks.
I can't believe it.
It's happening.
It happens. It just keeps happening. I'm not as excited as I was for last season, but I'm decently excited. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I am not super pumped up, but I am going in with somewhat low expectations and ready to be dazzled. Yes.
The problem is the cast that I've seen, I have not been taken with. Like, who do I root for? I like the gay theater actors. I'm into them, but who else?
John Rocker.
I do root for John Rocker. Who doesn't? America roots for John Rocker.
Yeah.
We love our racists in America.
Yes. And Steven, our season premiere, Survivor Know-It-Alls, will be our 50th Survivor Know-It-Alls together.
Is that
so
true?
It'll be a big show. Yes.
Are you going to give me a cake?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll eat it in unison.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thanks to everybody.
Smear it on your digital face.
Yeah. Smear it on the web
screen. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be perfect. All right. So episode number 50 is coming up at Survivor Know-It-Alls. Thanks to everybody who ordered the book. We really hope you enjoy it. Let's use this page if you want to have comments about the book as well. And we'll go in and be sure to continue to check it out and respond to some of your thoughts about the book, about the think tank, all that stuff. Thanks so much, patrons as well. And we're getting ready. Nicole and I will be live with our Survivor 29 cast preview show.
With Corinne.
No, that's going to be a different show.
Oh,
we will do that as well as we get closer to the season. But Nicole and I are going to be live. It's going to be a little late if you want to join us live. It's going to be Friday night at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. We got to wait until the baby goes to bed.
So, I like it though. Late night podcast. Anything goes.
After
dark. Anything goes.
So we'll be live. And of course, it'll be all recorded for you if you want to listen to it after the fact as well. So that's going to be this upcoming Friday night, 6 days from now. So thanks to everybody. Steven, you want to give people a hashtag? Was there anything that jumped out?
I love Thumbscrew. That's for the book.
That's the book.
Yeah. I love, what was the winner? What was the best idea?
Survivor Hamburger?
Loved hamburger.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So hashtag hamburger to tweet to Steven and I about the show. Even if you watch the show, even if you listen to this show 2 years from now,
I will be monitoring hashtag hamburger for the rest of my life.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. I really appreciate you supporting us with the book and with the patrons. Thank you so much. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
I also appreciate those things.
Yes. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.